is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! And a great run.
Fires down the middle.
It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted. Tre Day. Tre'Davious White.
He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there. McCoy cuts to the right.
Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Hello there. Welcome to snowy Orchard Park, New York. Welcome to the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy, Donald Jones. You going to use this today? Yeah, I think you might need it.
A little different. A little different for us.
And welcome to the show. We're here for 3 hours, believe it or not, to talk about Bills football, and happy to have you with us here today. It is snowing in Orchard Park. And it is pretty significant snow. And did you have any trouble getting in here, Donald? You good?
I didn't have any trouble this morning. Hopefully I can get out once we leave out of here.
Yeah.
You know, typically the office closes and we're the only ones still here. Snowed in.
Yeah, we'll get out. Don't worry about that. You can't
get out. I'm just hoping I get out Friday, tomorrow.
Yeah, you'll get out. It's all good. It's just a little snow.
Mm-hmm.
We've got, what would you say, 4 inches of snow or so here in Orchard Park, maybe. Started about 8, 9 this morning. And so the Bills are indoors practicing now. They moved up practice to 11 a.m. today. I don't know if that's because of the storm or what. What do you think? Might be.
I was thinking
get
that.
Players out of here, maybe?
Yeah, probably to get players out of here. We'll still be here till 3.
You can leave now if you want. You don't want to be here. Go ahead. We're here until 3, and you're welcome to join us. And we got a lot coming up on the show here today, including a pretty good guest lineup. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, Andrew Brandt, who covers the business of the NFL. Andrew Brandt, a frequent guest of the show. A lot to talk about. The Browns undergoing some changes in their front office. You've got the commissioner, Roger Goodell, with the brand new contract extension. You've got the Giants situation. You've got the Rob Gronkowski. We'll get his viewpoint from the league as to how that went down. Rob Gronkowski's one-game suspension. All of that with Andrew Brandt coming up at 12:30 at 1. Reuben Brown will fight the snow and be in here at 1 o'clock to join us to talk about his view of the Bills, where they're at right now. 1:30 thereabouts, Joe Webb's going to join us in studio, coming off the practice field for the Buffalo Bills. Joe Webb, the Wildcat quarterback, receiver, running back, whatever you want to call him for the Bills, scheduled to be on the show with us after practice around 1:30. We're going to talk about the Indianapolis Colts with Stephen Holder, who covers the Colts for the Indianapolis Star. That's coming up in the 2 o'clock hour as well. So a lot coming up. We're glad you're with us. We want to start the conversation by kind of taking a look at where the Bills are as they approach this game against the Indianapolis Colts. Most of us, having looked at some video and having thought about this game a little bit, most of us believe that the Bills should win this game, but those are always dangerous games, Donald, aren't they, when you go into a game and say, well, they should win this one?
Yeah, we said that when they were playing the Jets.
Yep.
You know, they should win this game. We said that when they were playing the Chargers, and we've been let down both times against both of those teams. So, yeah, it's always a dangerous game when you think that you should – at least we have said, you know, they should win. I hope the players don't think, oh, we should win this game. These guys are 3-8 or 3-9, whatever their record is. That's not a good mentality to go into a game thinking that type of way. So I think, you know, they'll be prepared for this game, but it is a tough, you know, it's tough. You can sleepwalk into a game when you're playing a team that on film you're like, oh, man, this is an easy game.
Not a whole lot to recommend the Indianapolis Colts when you look at what they've done this year, where their injury status, you know, they're probably going to start 3 rookies in the defensive backfield. They've only won 3 games, including victories over Cleveland and Houston, and what was the other one, an overtime victory over somebody, do you recall? You got it over there? But, you know, San Francisco, overtime victory over San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So they haven't really had a good season at all. They've been without Andrew Luck all season. They're going with Jacoby Brissett, second-year quarterback. They have weapons on the offensive side of the ball, but they don't have a quarterback, really, who can give it to them on a consistent basis. The defensive backfield is in shambles with those rookies starting. Not a whole lot going well for the Indianapolis Colts coming here to play the Bills. Their coach, reportedly, Chuck Pagano, on the hot seat. And, again, those are the games that kind of scary a little bit.
He's been on the hot seat every year like the last 4 years.
For a couple of years.
Yeah.
So what do we look at here for the Bills? They get this win, they get to 7-6. Dolphins coming up here the following week, next week. Winnable game. Now they're 8-6 with 2 games to go. And if they get to 8-6, clearly they'd be in the hunt for playoffs and maybe a little bit better than in the hunt. But what are the obstacles for the Bills to get into the playoffs? That's what we want to talk with you about. That's what we're talking about on the on Twitter and on the telephone lines. The lines are open at 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550, or via Twitter. What is the biggest obstacle for the Bills to get to the playoffs this year with a month left in the season, four games to go? We offer a couple of suggestions. The Ravens, obviously. Ravens sitting above the Bills in the standings right now. The Tennessee Titans, above, you know, with a better record than the Bills, and maybe they're the biggest obstacle. Maybe it's the Bills themselves. In fact, that's where I would vote. I would say the Bills themselves are the biggest obstacle for the Bills to make the playoffs this year, just because they've been so inconsistent. They have lost four of their last five. They have issues on offense in particular and on defense. Maybe the defense is coming around, maybe not. What do you think? What's the biggest obstacle for the Bills to get to the playoffs? Is it, in fact, the Bills themselves? Well, 59% of you in the early going here say yes, it is. 32% of you say the Baltimore Ravens. 7% say the Tennessee Titans. 2% have something else in mind. Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it on Twitter at John Murphy Show. The biggest obstacle for the Bills to get to the playoffs this year with four games to go. Is it an uphill fight? It sure is an uphill fight. It absolutely is. But it's still, you know, viable anyway. The Chargers above them, and I think the best-case scenario for Bills fans is for the Chargers to go ahead, keep winning, win that division, and then the Bills would have tiebreakers over Kansas City and Oakland with their victories over them. But it is an uphill climb. They've got a long way to go, and they've got a lot of time to do it, really. Four games is a quarter of the season, so this story is yet to be written. What do you think? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. What do you think, Donna? What is the biggest obstacle for the Bills to make the playoffs?
I think the biggest obstacle for the Bills, obviously, is themselves first. You have to win your games, which, you know, if they can win three of the next four, if they can even win the next four games, you know, then you put yourself at 10-6. You think you were in a good position to get into the playoffs, you know. So, first of all, you have to handle your own business, because if you don't handle your own business, it doesn't matter what anybody else out there does at all, you know. So, win your games, and then obviously with Baltimore sitting in the last wild card spot, it's Baltimore, you know, that's second. You're scoreboard watching Baltimore every week, trying to see what they do. Did they win this week? Did they lose this week? They still have some key games here coming up. And then after that, I would say the Chargers, you know, because the Chargers, obviously we want the Chargers to win that division out there in the West, you know, and we have the head-to-head victories over the rest of those teams that are still in the hunt with the Bills. So win your games first and then scoreboard watch and watch Baltimore, because they're sitting in there. And watch the Chargers as well.
Yeah. What do you think? Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Mike calling from Silver Creek. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the air.
Hey, I have two things. Number one, I was trying to get on last week, and I wanted to ask Donald Jones. Donald, can the cornerbacks at the line of scrimmage cut the receiver before they go out on a pattern? That's number one. And number two, I think the biggest obstacle for Buffalo is coaching staff, in particular, Rick Dennison and Sean McDermott using his timeouts properly.
Really? You see problems with the timeouts, do you, Mike?
I do. I see that.
Can you cite some examples?
Well, I'll cite an example last week where he used a challenge, which was absolutely the stupidest thing in the world he could have done. There was no necessary need to use that. He also did it the week before, and those are two separate timeouts he could have used at the end of the half on one, and at the end of the game on the other. Now I know it wouldn't have made any difference in the outcome of the New England game, but he talks about every single week learning from his mistakes, and the coaching staff learning as well as the players are, and I see them going backwards as far as learning is concerned. As they should be going forward. And I think a lot of that is related to Rick Dennison, if you want to know the truth. I mean, I think the guy's terrible, my opinion.
Okay.
What was the first question he said there?
What are you saying? Can a cornerback hit a receiver before he goes out?
Yeah, the biggest question I have is, can a cornerback or a safety or even a linebacker cut the receiver at the line of scrimmage? The reason I ask that, it's because we're doing a lot of zone defense, and if we can slow down the receiver, at the line of scrimmage by taking his legs out from under him.
Oh, you said cut him.
That makes the zone that much more effective.
No, Mike, you can't cut a receiver down at the line of scrimmage. You can jam them, you can bump them, but you can't take their legs out at the line of scrimmage. That even though you, within 5 yards, they say, you know, all is game at that point, but cutting a receiver down is not something that I believe is legal. I've never seen it done either.
Thanks very much for your call. Yep.
I've never seen it done either, but I'd like to know if it is legal.
Yeah, I don't think that's legal. I don't think you can cut a guy's legs out at any point, even within the 5 yards. After that, I don't think you can cut a guy's legs out at all.
It'd be kind of brutal if you could.
Man.
What are we talking about?
What was that old game? Oh, man, it was an old game where it was just like, I think it was like NFL Blitz or something like that, where it was like crazy football. I mean, that sounds like XFL football right there. You just cut the receiver's legs out.
Here's Omar on the line with us. Omar, go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay. Hello, Murph and Donald.
Hi, Omar. Good. Thank you.
Okay. And Donald, stop crying about the snowman, all right? The Buffalo man, all right? You got to enjoy the snow. You got to get out. You got to love it, all right? Okay, sorry about that.
Thanks, Omar.
All right. I'm just playing with you, Donald. I love your feedback, your commentary, and I really enjoy both of you. All right.
Yeah, thank you.
So the second thing I wanted to say is that there's a reason why San Diego, Ravens, you know, even I think Chiefs might get back into it, somehow fix a little bit. I'm not crazy about Alex Smith, but, you know, Phillip Rivers. And, you know, I know he had his struggles, Flacco. But I think that they're going to figure it out and they're going to surpass the Bills because of that reason. And even if we had Tyrod, I'm not a Tyrod supporter. When he was in there, I did support our QB because, you know, he's our QB. But, you know, I think he brings a lot of intangibles. But the thing is that we did the same thing with Fitzpatrick, and we did that with, you know, E.J. Manuel, even where we're just like potential, you know, this. But we have to stop this. We really have to stop this.
Stop what, Omar? What do we got to stop?
We just really have to stop you know, trying to put in our heads that the QB position is, you know, sometimes we're like, you know, it was okay. It was okay today. Because every game we won, if you look at it, you know, it was because of those great defensive plays, amazing turnover ratios. I mean, things were happening for us that was amazing that never happened before.
Yeah.
So,
the way to stop it, Omar, is to find the answer at quarterback, right? Until you find an answer.
Yeah, and that's what I want to bring up to you guys, and I'd like to hear your comment. So, number one, I really like the fact that Rosen is, you know, is leading away. I actually like Rosen, but I think Sam Darnold was not really designed for the college game. I think he's an amazing QB. I think he's basically a slight bit less than Andrew Luck. I know there's some things he's got to work out, but I really think he's the next big thing. So if he can fall to us, that would be amazing. And then the second thing, and then I'll listen to you guys, is that I like to understand Andrew Luck's contract situation. I don't know if you guys know about it, but I know there was an article about how he could go to Miami. And I'm like, Miami's got, like, tons of QBs. I mean, they're not great. And Tannehill is somewhat solid when he's not hurt. And I'm like, if anyone should be talking about QBs, it's got to be the Bills. We got to end this drought. We need a QB. That'll fix a lot of things. And it will even fix our defense and these injury situations because our defense is playing so much plays. And that just puts a wear and tear. Mm-hmm. We got three and outs.
Yeah.
We're watching. And it's not, sometimes we'll say it's not the QB, you know, New Orleans. Oh, it was the defense. It was the deep. No, it's the QB. The QB is doing three and outs.
Yeah. Okay, Omar, have you spent much time looking at the rookies coming out, quarterbacks coming out?
I've seen those guys play. I say Rosen is probably going to be number one, the kid from UCLA. He's going to be number one. That kid throws some darts in there. He drops the ball where he needs to drop the ball. So I'd expect him to be number one. Darnold from USC throws a lot of interceptions. And so I would almost guarantee you that GMs, I mean, they're still going to be drafted, but GMs are going to – take a second look at that. You know, they're going to give pause to that because he throws so many interceptions. He's reckless. You know, he's a gunslinger. And you know, he can make some throws, but he gives the ball up a lot. And that's not what coaches want. They don't want you to just turn the ball over all the time like that. Yeah, we want you to make certain throws, but so they're going to really take a second look at him. And then, you know, you have the wild card in there, which is Baker Mayfield, who I think is going to win the Heisman. You know, people have talked about his mentality and all of the antics on and off the field, things that he does. We'll see how that truly affects him. But we all know, ultimately, and you got the kid out of Wyoming who I haven't seen play.
Mm-hmm.
We all know, ultimately, you know, there's so many teams that are star for quarterbacks in this league that you're going to get a bunch of these kids drafted, probably in the top 10, you know. So it depends on where you fall, you know, if you want to trade up to get one of those kids or not. The question about Andrew Luck's contract, I have no clue about Andrew Luck's contract, but I will say this. The Indianapolis Colts are not going to let Andrew Luck get out the door, all right? They should have already been trying to truly build a team around him, an offensive line. Well, they brought in Frank Gore, a better defense, you know, but they haven't, which is why he's been banged up all season. But yeah. You don't typically, and we were talking about this in the office, you don't typically see franchise quarterbacks on the free agent market. You
right.
know, you don't see these teams just let them go because then what? You know, we can build a team around this guy. You know, we just got to get the talent here. We're not going to let him walk because then we'll be one of those teams that's starving for quarterbacks,
right.
you know.
Right.
So as you hear about Kirk Cousins, you hear about Eli Manning possibly, you hear about Alex Smith, I wouldn't be shocked if all of those guys sign back with their teams. They're going to give them the big money that they want. That's just how this league works.
Yeah, maybe Smith. I mean, maybe with Mahomes
maybe.
Winning the wings,
maybe
Smith
yeah.
moves. But even then, how valuable is he and how much we want to build a franchise around him?
Right.
I mean, it's got to be the right fit for a guy like Alex Smith, a team that is, you know, close maybe to playoff contention.
Right, exactly.
That's an interesting question, though. Hey, our question today, we'd like to get your thoughts on this. The biggest obstacle for the Bills to get to the playoffs, predictably, in the land of Twitter, 60% of you say it's the Bills themselves. I would vote for that, too, but obviously, you know, predictably, the response is pretty negative. 30% say the Ravens are the biggest obstacle. 6% say the Titans. 4% say somebody else inside the building here. They're hard at work trying to win this game against the Colts on Sunday. Who's it going to be at quarterback? Tyrod Taylor. The official practice report has not come out, but Taylor was getting in some work, it appeared, during the early portion, the media viewing portion of practice. Whether he comes out as limited today or not, we'll see once the practice report is issued. If it's not him, it'll be Nathan Peterman who would get a start. It would be his second start after he finished up last Sunday against the Patriots. Yesterday, Nathan Peterman talked to media in the locker room about starting, being any different this week as opposed to being thrown into the mix in the fourth quarter last week.
It's really the same even last week, even the week before that, even week one of the season. You know, obviously getting a little bit more reps today than I have been, but, you know, just kind of approaching it the same way.
You feel more confident just because, again, you went through game action and then additionally this past game, even though it was a shorter or maybe the same period, fourth quarter. What's your sense of your level of confidence now?
Yeah, I think it's always stayed high, and that's the thing. You know, you get a lot of advice as a quarterback that's the most valuable thing you have is your confidence. And, you know, it definitely helped to get out there again and kind of be able to, you know, complete some balls and things like that on, you know, this past game. But, you know, my confidence has always stayed high.
And Coach was saying that we were asking him about Joe and scout team and so forth. He said the two of you would be taking reps. Was it about even in practice or did you get most of them? How did it go in terms of the rep division of reps?
Yeah, we both took reps. I mean, yeah, we both took reps, and he did a good job.
Hey, just with respect to the Colts specifically, I know you never want to go into any game assuming anything because every game's different, but do you see opportunities there in the pass game for you guys this week?
Definitely. You know, kind of see that every week, hopefully. I mean, they're a great team, very talented DBs. Going to have some young DBs too, which
right.
is good. I got to, you know, train against some of them in this offseason. So I know they're very talented and going to be a tough challenge for us.
So what about, you know, stringing positive plays together, series to series, outside of maybe the first drive last week, has been a bit of fits and starts for you guys. How do you kind of string together one positive play after another as a unit? Mm-hmm. We're not talking about any one guy, but just getting the group all on the same page, play after play after play.
Yeah, I think it just goes back to getting to fundamentals, you know, and doing the little things right. That's really when I think offenses really execute, is all the little things. There's a lot of attention to that detail and a lot of work and practice, and then you go out there and you execute.
How do you balance? You're known as a quarterback that gets the ball out fast, on rhythm, in time, all of that. Mm-hmm. How do you guard against DBs maybe banking on that and squatting a little, or you know what I mean? Like, how mm-hmm. do you balance it out where you're not giving them the same look, maybe, so to speak, every time you drop back?
Yeah, I mean, every time you drop back and throw, it's not always, you know, a perfect three steps and get the ball out. I mean, that kind of helps. And it's really just, you know, about taking what the defense gives you. If they're going to squat, and you know, you'll throw over. If they're going to play off, I mean, you'll throw under. So it's just about what the defense gives you every week. You like to be in rhythm with everything you do, but it's football. You know, you get a lot of off-rhythm throws, too.
I'm just thinking, Tom.
Nathan Peterman speaking to the media yesterday. The Bills still on the practice field as we speak. They probably got another couple of minutes left in there. And hopefully after practice, we'll get an update on the quarterback status of Tyrod Taylor. He was spotted at the media viewing portion of practice, getting in some limited work, some individual drills. Does he take place in any team drills? We don't know. We'll find out in just a couple of minutes. In the meantime, your thoughts. What's the biggest obstacle to the Bills making the playoffs? Is it, in fact, themselves? Is it the Tennessee Titans, the Baltimore Ravens, something else? Give us a call, 803-0550, and toll-free 1-888-552-550. Mike calling from Lancaster. Hello, Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, Donald, I got a question for you, you being a cornerback. Why is it when every team, seems like just about every team I watch play New England, there seems to be a guy coming out of nowhere, like 5 yards in front of the line of scrimmage, running 100 miles an hour, and Brady always hits him, and the guy's always wide open, and nobody can stop their play. I'd just like to get your comment and thoughts on that.
What was the play again? Say that one more time. Mike?
Mike, can you repeat that?
Mike.
He's gone.
Mike is gone. All right. I'm not sure what play he said, but first of all, the Patriots have always been a matchup team, okay, and they bring in different guys so that they can get matchups all over the field every year. This year, they have some guys that they can create matchups, okay? And so when you decide you want to take away a certain guy or by double-teaming that one guy or whatever it is, you know, they can go somewhere else with the ball. They also have a lot of different designs to their plays, you know, and they have most of the guys on the field are clearing out for somebody else, you know. And then you have Tom Brady, who obviously can diagnose a defense, understand what it is that you're trying to do, and he'll hit the open guy, you know. So there's a combination of a lot of different things of finding the right matchup. You have certain guys that are just clearing out, knowing, you know, you still run your route because you might come open, but you're clearing out for somebody else to get the ball. And if you do your job, that person should come wide open because of that. And then because of Brady and how good he is at knowing what the defense is doing, you have guys who are wide open.
Simple.
It's simple. It's simple when you have number 12 back there.
He makes,
you know,
everything simple.
He makes it all easy.
James calling from Rochester. Hello, James.
Hello?
James, you're on the air with us.
Yes, this is James. I'm calling about the offensive line play.
Okay.
How are you?
Good.
We're good, thank
good.
You. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm calling about the offensive line play.
Yes, sir.
The play is, I want to see Corey Glenn from left tackle, Incognito at right, left guard, Gore at center.
Who? Groy?
Groy.
All right, we're having trouble here. We're going to cut you loose. Corey Glenn hasn't been healthy, so that's what prevents him from being in there at left tackle. We're going to take a break. We've got more to come. Stick around. Give us a call. It is the John Murphy Show. Presented by Napa Auto Parts, Andrew Brandt coming up next. And we'll talk with him about a variety of business in the NFL topics. Coming back with more on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show on this snowy day in Orchard Park. John Murphy, Donald Jones, Bills at practice as we speak. We've got Joe Webb III coming up on the show a little bit later on today after the Bills wrap it up on the practice field. Bills and the Colts coming up on Sunday. And Independent Health is the official game sponsor. So join Independent Health Sunday for the Bills Family Day game. Enjoy family-themed holiday activities, giveaways, and, of course, the Bills and the Colts. A lot of business news around the NFL these days. Roger Goodell signs, the Browns making moves, the Giants issues. Joining us on the Subway First Take Hotline, a man whose job it is to cover the business of the NFL. He is a weekly columnist for the MMQB, the Peter King website that deals with the NFL, the host of the Business of Sports podcast, and director of the Morad Center for Sports Law at Villanova University. Happy to have Andrew Brandt back on the air with us. Andrew, John Murphy and Donald Jones here in Buffalo. How are you today?
John and Donald, always good to be with you.
We love talking with you, especially when there's stuff going on and the commissioner's the commissioner's new contract is getting a lot of play, but it seems like in the end it kind of happened with just a whimper. I mean, the fury and discussion of a couple of weeks ago, it went down pretty quietly this week, didn't it?
Yeah, it did, and I think a lot of the noise about it emanated from Dallas, where, ironically, that's where they're going to approve the deal next week, and Jerry Jones was having issues with it. As I always said, the issues he had were not so much whether Roger Goodell should continue as commissioner. It's what is the deal going to look like. And what we don't know, guys, is whether he did get his pound of flesh in this deal, meaning that the incentive part of the deal, which I'm told is very heavily incentivized, are they tough incentives? Are they easy incentives? The one report said this $40 million a year deal is really like $8 million a year. But how easy it is to make the other 30, we'll see when it eventually comes out. But, you know, I kind of liken it to these player reporting deals where you hear a guy got $50 million a player deal. Well, it's really like $20
million.
Yeah. But I think Roger Goodell probably will make probably closer to 40 than to 8 or 10, but we just don't know how much. But like you said, the message from Arthur Blank and the head of the committee on commissioner compensation to all of us was, move along, nothing to see here.
Well, and what kind of incentives would be built in there to amount to some $30 million? What kind of measuring points would there be there?
Yeah, and then that's when they all sort of put pen to paper, the lawyers get involved and negotiators and all that. Two obvious points. One, the CBA in 2020 or 2021, whenever they do negotiate it, you know, maybe he gets rewarded for status quo. It's such a good deal right now. Maybe gets rewarded if it's another 10-year deal. Maybe gets rewarded if he keeps the commissioner disciplined the way it is. All those kind of things. And then the other big marker is going to be the TV deals. Maybe gets rewarded if it stays where it is. Maybe gets bump-ups if he brings in Google or Yahoo or gets another network involved. I mean, these are all kinds of things I'm just thinking top of my head.
Yeah.
A lot of ways to skin the cat there.
Andrew, what about, and you're saying we don't know the real particulars of the deal, but it was reported that he was asking for a plane. He was asking for, I guess, you know, health insurance for the rest of his life, for he and his family. Do we know anything about those things?
No, I do think this. The plane was oversold by the media because, I mean, not that it's trivial, but it's use of a plane. It's not actually owning these planes that cost millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Use of a plane, which I can't say this for sure. I think he has that now, mm-hmm. where he can, you know, when he gets away with his family, he doesn't fly commercial. He goes on a private plane through some kind of deal with NetJets or something like that. And then the insurance parachute for life, yeah, I mean, I guess that happens. I wouldn't be surprised if that's in there. You know, I've been around CEOs that have gotten that on their parting deal. This is not a parting deal, but it's typical with when CEOs get let go or get bought out, they get kind of insurance for life.
I wonder, you mentioned player discipline. Do you think the owners want the commissioner to have player discipline under his purview, or do you think in the next CBA they're looking for another way? And this obviously goes back to, you know, all the noise Jerry Jones made about Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, and speaking of Ezekiel Elliott, and who had a huge player issue and lost, I just think that's what this has come to, and I know the union hates this. It's come to a negotiation issue. Will he give it up? Sure. What are you going to give me? You know?
Yeah.
What are the players going to give him to give it up? And not even, you know, it doesn't even have to be given up. He can be, I've always suggested, why not have a panel of maybe three? Maybe a union rep, a league rep and the two of them pick a third. When there's a player conduct issue, they decide it together. And you know, I guess you can say the union guy's always going to vote for the player and the commissioner's always going to vote for the league, but come up with something together would be a way to do that. I'm not so sure the owners want the commissioner discipline heavy power as much as Roger does, but they want it to be negotiated.
Yeah. Andrew Brandt, our guest from the MMQB, covers the business of the NFL. Big business in Cleveland today with Sashi Brown being let go by Jimmy Haslam, the owner. Is there a strategy in Cleveland, or this kind of looks like they're backtracking in Cleveland after hiring Sashi Brown as executive vice president just 2 years ago? What's going on up there?
Yeah. And listen, I admit being on board with what Cleveland has been doing and hiring Dee Podesta, the guru from baseball, because, hey, it hadn't worked, right? Mm-hmm. So they stunk up the joint for however many years, and now they're trying something different. The problem is you got to hit on the picks.
Yeah, right.
They amass all these picks. You know, I'm speaking to you from Philadelphia. They've done it with the Sixers. It took a long time, but now they have Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, and they're going to be good for a long time. I just think that, you know, passing up Wentz and passing up Watson is completely detrimental to their future. We don't even know if there'll be someone like those two in the next year or two. So this is what happens, and he took the fall. I will say this about Jimmy Haslam. He is paying so many executives right now and Ken coaches. I think he's still paying like Norv Turner and Mike Holmgren. So, you know, all these people trying to get it right, and that's no cost is not an issue.
Do you think, Andrew, this signals that they're turning away from the analytics-based approach of, you know, managing that football department?
I don't know if that's the case because, I mean, there's no move with Dee Podesta. He's the big boss. But I think with Sashi under him, they wanted a different model. So instead of more... Well, kind of more my background, you know, kind of more financial business in that role. I think they're going to just bring in a pure scouting type that just pours over our football players all day long.
Andrew, as you talk about bringing in a scouting type, there were reports of so much, I guess, animosity or a difference of agreements between Hugh Jackson, the coach, the head coach, and then the front office and Sashi Brown and different things that they were trying to do, different draft picks, et cetera. Do you think that maybe looking forward as they bring in this next GM or VP of, you know, football operations, that Hugh Jackson will have something to say and maybe they'll bring someone that he has a history with?
Maybe, you know, maybe I would think like the Giants, and they're in the same boat right now. If I'm them, I'm going to be very, very thorough no matter how long it takes. I think teams screw up when they say, we got to get this guy before someone else gets him. Well, if that's it's better to be safe than sorry. I mean, you want to, if you're going to go to be quick, you may not get the right guy. So I would think they'd look under every rock and tree, both franchises, as long as it takes. They got time. I mean, the scouting season, you know, doesn't start till late January, early February. So they got time to get this right.
Andrew, what do you make of what went down in the New York Giants earlier this week with Jerry Reese, the GM, being fired, Ben McAdoo being fired? Really, all of it traceable to...
You got
to
bring Eli in there.
I'm going to say all of it traceable to Eli Manning, right? I mean, did he bring down both of them,
well,
the way they handled it?
See, I would say yes, but then I know the owner was behind it. I mean, the owner had to bless benching Eli. He's the boss. So are they taking the fall for the owner? So my answer is no. I think it's bigger than that. Obviously a disastrous season. And I will say this. I'm talking about this about a guy I know. I was in Green Bay with Ben McAdoo. He was our tight ends coach. And, you know, he had some squirrely guys in that room. I think he handled it very well. I saw him as kind of a diligent, hardworking, quiet tight ends coach, and obviously his role changed. And maybe some guys, you know, they don't make that leap very well. They'd rather be more behind the scenes. I can see him coaching again in the other kind of role.
What do you think about the future of Eli now? Is, you know, I guess he's going to start this week, but his future, his contract, everything he's talked about, you know, moving on from the Giants. What do you think about everything?
I think he's, you know, all comes down to new coach and GM. I think the idea that he's out of there has changed over the past week, right? Mm-hmm. So if they were going to stay, he was in trouble. But he may stay there. It's hard to think of him going anywhere else. I know everyone said that about Brett. Everyone said that about Joe Montana. I mean, that's kind of what happens in this league. You know, that's how people end their careers.
Andrew, we were talking a minute ago about NFL discipline staying in the hands of the commissioner's office. Do you have any thoughts on the Rob Gronkowski one-game suspension compared to the other one-game suspensions from this past weekend's games? Obviously, you might anticipate folks in Buffalo are looking for equity here and wondering if one game was enough.
Yeah, I totally empathize with that. I really think this has caused some trust issues with the league. Because, I mean, listen, on off-field stuff, Ezekiel Elliott and all that, I get it. The league can't tell us much. The lawyers involved and witnesses. But on on-field stuff, these kind of bland statements of why they get a game or two, I don't get it. You know, it's you're a fan, I'm a fan, we're media, but we're looking at Gronkowski compared to these Juju Smith-Schuster and other ones and saying, that's the same? Really?
Right.
And I know there's stuff going on that we don't know, so why can't we know? I mean, I guess my point is be more transparent about this because Gronkowski was premeditated and the other ones are kind of bang-bang plays in the heat of the action. I would think these hearings with former players, and again, it's the NFL, NFLPA, it's not judge, jury, executioner. These guys are together on this. Would, you know, I mean, I say this half seriously, why not televise them? Why not video these things so we know why something happens like this?
You know, Andrew, I saw the reports last night of Troy Vincent saying, you know, the reason Gronk got only one game suspension was because of, you know, he's typically been a clean player, you know, with his history in the league. And immediately I'm like, okay, so we're not talking about the safety of the players. We're talking about your reputation in terms of how, you know, how much you get in a suspension. And I think there needs to be more black and white here. This has to be something that the players are going to ask for, even if it's not just, you know, judge, jury, executioner from Roger Goodell, but just more black and white answers as to what it is in terms of suspensions.
Right, I think so. And I think criteria is always good to see. But, you know, if that's what Troy said, then that we have criteria. But Juju Smith-Schuster never got suspended.
Right.
The Cincinnati player, I don't know what his history was. And I just think you can't allow what Gronkowski did to have the same as kind of bang-bang plays. Because are they saying the next guy who does what Gronk did is only going to get a game? I just don't see it. And why shouldn't he, if I'm representing that guy, why should he be treated differently than Gronk?
Yeah. One more issue I want to bounce off you, Andrew, and I know you followed this pretty closely. The Supreme Court hearing earlier this week on, I think it's called Christie versus the NCAA, NFL, and others about football gambling. What are the issues in this case, and what is the potential impact of this case when we get a Supreme Court ruling next year?
Well, gambling has always been on the forefront of a lot of people's minds with sports, certainly overseas, but it hasn't really done much here except for fantasy. But the leagues have been giving mixed messages over the past couple of years. You know, we have teams in Las Vegas. We have embraced fantasy, where leagues are embracing it. It's saying it's quote-unquote not gambling, and we can all have opinions on that. But on a more legalese point of view, the state of New Jersey wants to implement Nevada-style sportsbook betting. They've been blocked in court from doing that because of a statute that's federal that says you can't. And this worked its way all the way to the Supreme Court. I am a lawyer. I have seen the number of cases with sports that get to the Supreme Court. You can count on one hand. So I had to be there, and I was there Monday, and I was probably 10 feet away from Chris Christie, who's the governor of New Jersey, trying to get this passed. And, guys, I saw the justices very empathetic with the New Jersey side. I think they're going to decide that New Jersey can implement sports betting, and then the floodgates will be open for other states to jump in. What the leagues want is a federal solution instead of state-by-state patchwork, but I think that ship may have sailed. They should have gotten that going before, because I think the states are going to win here.
Are the leagues opposed? Is the NFL opposed?
They're opposed, even while they put franchises in Vegas,
yeah,
because they want a congressional approach rather than a state-by-state approach. Yeah. They know it's coming. Adam Silver's written about it. They know it's coming. They want it done their way, but they may not have a choice.
Yeah, it sounds inevitable almost, right?
Yeah, and I think for people that say, well, are you going to be able to bet? Yeah, I think by the 2018 season, you can go to a sports book in New Jersey. Whether it extends to other states, we're going to see what the opinion looks like.
All right. Andrew, thanks for this. A lot of ground to cover today, and you're just the guy to do it for us. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Thank you very much. Andrew Brandt, he is weekly columnist on the business of the NFL for Peter King's website, mmqb.si.com, director of the Morad Center for Sports Law at Villanova University. He joined us.
It all starts and stops in Jersey.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
What does? Gambling? Yeah.
Everything.
Gambling does. You're right. It does. We're back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones. As we work our way to 3 o'clock today, we're going to hear from Joe Webb III coming off the practice field in a couple of minutes here on the show. Reuben Brown standing by to join us at 1 o'clock. Going to get a look at the Colts from a beat writer from the Indianapolis Colts, from the Indianapolis Star, talking about the Colts. All of that coming up as the show moves along. Couple of things, Donald, on Andrew Brandt, who joined us, by the way, in the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. The Goodell extension, I see a lot of snarky tweets from current and I guess some former NFL players. And Andrew points out, you know, it's $200 million reported over 5 years, $40 million annually if he hits all the bonuses and incentives.
I'd have to believe that for him to agree to it, he thinks he's going to hit these bonuses and incentives and things like
yeah.
that. Like, you know, he's going to make anywhere from 30 to 40 million.
Yeah.
All right. And that's just it. I understand why players are upset about that. You know, he's getting paid. Why?
Yeah. He's a CEO of a huge money making concern.
Yeah, but, you know, from a player's perspective, I understand why the players are, you know, have something to say about it, but they also know it is what it is. You know, this dude runs a big organization, and that's what it is.
Yeah, I don't know why they'd be upset. They're all making money. No, I'm serious.
Because
the head GM makes a certain amount, and vice presidents make a certain amount.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think it's a lot of money. I think it's clearly a lot of money, but he's got a lot of responsibility and runs. He's the man. He's the CEO.
Well, players look at it like, you know, we are out here actually putting our lives at risk, and you're sitting in an office making more than everybody in the league.
Yeah.
You know, and we are the actual ones that if we weren't playing, there wouldn't be a league. So that's how players think about
yeah.
it.
Well, if they weren't playing, somebody else would play.
Yeah, that's a good argument to it, you know. But, look, there's always going to – players will always feel a certain way about Roger Goodell or whoever is the commissioner.
Yes.
You know, it just is what it is. They
I think he's a target, you know, for.
Hey, he accepted the job just like players accepted
I don't feel
that
sorry
job.
For him. Yeah. But so I do think it, some of the criticism is unfounded and unwarranted. You know, he's the CEO of a major entertainment conglomerate that is very successful, number one show on TV. I mean, what do you think the head of a movie studio makes? You know what I mean? It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
I mean, did the actors say, well, how can he make that if I make this? No.
They probably privately say it. But, you know, players will complain. The smart ones obviously understand the deal, you know, and hopefully they are the only ones that complain publicly. If you don't know what you're talking about, you should just keep quiet, you know. But it's always going to be like that. It's always going to be like that.
Hey, Bills practice, we think, for a little while longer. Tyrod Taylor, some participation. We don't know the extent of which yet. And after practice, Sean McDermott typically meets with the media and kind of outlines what the level of participation was. Traveris Cadet participating in practice also. He is looks like he might be getting close to being healthy to play. And, of course, a lot of people will be watching Tre'Davious White, who did not practice yesterday in concussion protocol. We're not quite sure what his status will be coming up this week, but he was out there today at practice. So we'll get the full report from Chris Brown and others coming up as the afternoon moves along, the full practice report. And I don't know that we'll have, you know, definitive word on who's going to play quarterback, but maybe we get a clue as to which way it's going. If I were betting?
No.
You wouldn't bet?
I wouldn't bet on it.
Why?
I just don't think we're going to get a definitive answer until game time.
No, but if I were betting, I'd bet on Tyrod.
Oh, on Tyrod. Oh, okay.
I just have a feeling I think that's what they'd like to happen. And, in fact, Sean McDermott said it Monday, you know, if Tyrod's healthy.
Yeah, if he's healthy.
He starts.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. Hey, we're going into a Twitter poll today and talking about the Bills' push for the playoffs, such as it is. What's the biggest obstacle to the Bills making the playoffs? What do you think it is? Is it, in fact, the Bills themselves? 62% of you say, yes, it is. Is it the Baltimore Ravens, who sit above Buffalo in the playoff race? Is it the Tennessee Titans? 6% of you say, yes. Is it something else? Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. Or you can do it on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Biggest obstacle for the Bills to make the playoffs. Let us know what you think. When we come back, after the top of the hour, Reuben Brown will be joining us to talk about all of these issues and much more. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
Got the update from One Bills Drive. The Bills working out in the Ed Pro Sports Training Center. A heavy snowstorm hitting Orchard Park at mid-morning. Snow forecast a little bit for Sunday for kickoff between the Bills and the Colts. Quarterback Tyrod Taylor getting in some work. We're not quite sure as to the extent of the work he got in today. And no update yet from Sean McDermott as to Tyrod's status for Sunday's game. Bills and Colts Sunday kickoff 1 o'clock at New Era Field. Cleveland Browns have fired Executive Vice President Sashi Brown. He headed Cleveland's personnel department for the last 2 years. Other front office members are also expected to be let go as the Browns go through another front office shakeup. Cleveland immediately will begin its official search for a new general manager, its ninth since the franchise returned to the city in 1999. Former Chiefs GM John Dorsey expected to emerge as a leading contender. Steelers linebacker Ryan Shazier has been transferred from a Cincinnati hospital to the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center for treatment and further testing on the spinal injury that he suffered during the first quarter of Monday night's win over the Bengals. He was flown by medical helicopter from the Cincinnati hospital yesterday afternoon. Shazier left Paul Brown Stadium on a stretcher less than 4 minutes into his team's 23-20 victory over the Cincinnati Bengals. Roger Goodell has signed a 5-year contract extension to remain the commissioner of the NFL. A source says the new contract would be worth $200 million over the life of the deal, over $40 million annually if owners approve all of the bonuses and incentives are met. The base salary in the single-digit millions, according to sources, roughly 85% of the total compensation packages from bonuses, subject to ownership approval and validation. Thursday night football tonight. The New Orleans Saints 9-3 and the Atlanta Falcons 7-5 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. The Saints coming off their win over Carolina last week. The Falcons trying to rebound from a loss against Minnesota last week. That's an 8:25 kickoff tonight in Atlanta. And the Sabres on the practice ice today in Chicago, getting set to play the Blackhawks tomorrow night at United Center. Faceoff is set for 8:30 tomorrow night. And that is the update from One Bills Drive. We await the update from the Bills practice field on participation. Hope to get that for you shortly. John Murphy, Donald Jones, joined in studio by our good buddy Reuben Brown, who just motored in here from his Orchard Park home to spend some time with us. How's the driving out there?
Not good.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot of people on the road that shouldn't be there. They should stay at home. And if your mother's 65 and above and she's out in her minivan, you need to go get her.
Don't be alarming people now. Yeah, what are you saying? It was slow driving, right?
Don't let these older people drive in these conditions. It's too severe. I mean, it's serious out there. It's no joke. If you're doing 5 miles an hour, you should have just stayed home.
I see the source of your frustration. I had that too when I was coming in here. It's not the snow, it's the other drivers.
You know, I
was sitting at a corner this morning coming in, and I just so happened to look in my mirror, and I seen this car just sliding right at me. And I see the guy turning the wheel, trying not to slide into me. And I'm just like, oh, don't slide into me. Oh, and he missed me, but.
The worst part about those things is it happens in slow motion.
Yeah. Yes.
You see it happening. Yeah. Like, oh, no, I'm going to.
I wish we could have this snow on Sunday.
Yeah.
Snow on the field, any type of precipit, any weather affects the outcome of the game. Yeah. It affects the play of everybody out there. So please snow.
What's the worst weather game you played in?
Oh, man. Patriots game. I think Doug Flutie was quarterback. We had rain, sleet, snow, sleet, snow, rain. Sleet and snow.
You're just out there, like, yeah, man.
Every quarter, it changed to something else, yeah. And it ended up being a late night game. I think overtime, a field goal won it. Yeah. And I mean, literally, the guys, everybody out there playing was like, "Is somebody win it?"
Yeah,
you know what I mean. We're going to do our job, but somebody win it. You know.
Reuben Brown is in studio with us. If you'd like to join the conversation, the phone line's open 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550. Last hour, Reuben, we talked with our buddy Andrew Brand about Roger Goodell's contract.
Come on!
No,
he can own a team.
Good.
He could buy a team. Are you kidding me?
What do you think?
It's ludicrous.
Why?
Crazy.
He's the CEO of a major entertainment.
Not the CEO of anything. This thing runs itself.
No, it doesn't run itself. Somebody's got to negotiate with players. And
what? Get out of here. I'm crazy right now. I've lost my mind. I can't believe he's getting paid that much money, and he's horrible. He's horrible at the job.
Why do you say that?
He could be a nice guy and everything.
Why
and
do you
I won't
say
take
horrible?
That. Oh, man. Where do we start? The first is just the suspensions and all of this stuff. That him being the judge and jury and everything over all the decisions on who's going to play and who's not going to play. Start there, and you can spend hours.
That was negotiated in the last CBA that he would have.
I know, but he hasn't used his power correctly. Him as the commissioner, he could have set a panel up that would take that pressure off him. You know what I mean? Just him being the commissioner. That's what a commissioner would do. Hey, we need a panel. We need some guidelines. But he didn't do that. He totally didn't do that. I'm disappointed in him. My candidate for that position is Condoleezza Rice.
Really?
You know, yes. If you ever hear her bio and talk to her, her father was a big football fan and she was into football. And actually, that's one of the jobs that she wished that she could one day have as a commissioner of the league. Mm-hmm. And I think her, number one, being a woman, and number two, someone that worked in like the political office at a high level and can understand negotiations, policies, politics, all of these things that Roger Goodell seems to be lacking in some areas.
Can I make the case for Goodell?
I'm fine. I like him as a guy.
Condoleezza Rice, I know he's about to make the case for Goodell. She's on the college football committee,
right? Yeah, she is.
So you've got a guy whose job is to work for the owners, and what he's done is maintain labor peace. You know, there haven't been major labor disruptions, just the one that cost him one preseason game 6-7 years ago. The television ratings are good, dropping a little bit, but pretty good. Yeah. The revenue is fantastic. Yeah. I mean, if you're looking at it from the standpoint of his employers, the owners, what has he done wrong? I think he's doing okay.
Yeah.
For the owners,
a little bit, but
that's what I'm saying.
For them to pay them,
you're never going to, as a player or former player, like Roger Goodell or the job that he's doing.
Why?
You know?
No, you can't.
You just look at it from two totally different perspectives. He's looking at it like I'm making this league a lot of money, and that's it. You know?
Yeah.
He wants to be judge, jury, executioner on, you know, different things that are going on, suspensions, all of that stuff. You know, but his job really is to make money for the league, which is why he should have a panel or something like that. So he could just have a bunch of people that work with him. Maybe it's his final call on it, you know, but he has a panel that he can discuss all of these different things with.
He always said he wanted to be the conduct commissioner to clean up player conduct. And he obviously felt that player conduct issues were a threat to the revenue generation, that people get so mad about players being arrested, players getting in trouble.
I had an issue with that when he first came out. I was actually still playing in the league at the time when he said that. And there aren't any rules on the books that don't already police player conduct. You know, really, it's not. They didn't amp it up. They might. I don't see where if a guy got in trouble with off the field DUI, something in the police blotter, that their teams didn't take action or the league didn't take action anyway. They see it said, oh, well, it's too much. Well, you know, that's relative to the time. You know, if the guys are getting busted for running around doing crazy stuff, they are. I don't think it's, any different. I really don't. I think he just accentuated what was already. I'm going to clean up the league. That sounds like every coach that comes in, I'm going to make them work harder. Mm-hmm. They're already there. The things that he emphasized, and I can remember this, he was emphasizing things that were already on the books. Already there.
I'm a little surprised that neither one of you. I think the biggest argument against Roger Goodell would be the way they initially handled the concussion stuff.
Neither one of you guys raised
that as an issue.
We have the concussion stuff. But, you know, the concussion thing is one thing. But then you do have a lot of this player conduct. And for him coming out and saying, I want to be that type of commissioner. Yeah. You know, when you look at some of these cases throughout the history now of the league, or at least the last 5 years, starting with Ray Rice, and you can probably go back, but at least starting with Ray Rice and how they messed that whole thing up with Ray Rice.
And they fixed it.
Yeah, you know, but if you have a panel of people, then you don't have to mess something up because you made this decision and then go back and try to fix it, you know?
Yeah, right.
Now you have a few people who are saying, no, you can't do it that way. You got to at least – he's talking to a bunch of people about this.
Ray Rice, Ezekiel Elliott. Ray Rice, you know, because of Ray Rice and because of the way they mishandled that, they set up a 6-game suspension for domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of years later, here's Ezekiel Elliott out 6 games, despite the owner, the most powerful owner, not being in favor of that.
Yeah.
I guess my point is they saw that they made a mistake on domestic violence.
As you talk about the concussions, you know, they always talk player safety, but then, you know, things happen and you're like this whole Rob Gronkowski thing and the 1-game suspension, and you're like, 1 game?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where's the player safety? And then for Troy Vincent to come out, like I said, and say, you know, you got to be harsh on him, but fair at the same time. He has a clean history. Then you're like, what are we talking about right now?
Who cares about the clean history? I mean, what if a bad guy is playing good? You know, for a lot of years, they vilified Adam Pac-Man Jones.
Yeah.
And now down in Cincinnati, he's considered, you know, a great team player and a great player of all sorts. You know, all the things that he went through. And you know, now, you know, he's a model teammate after he was considered a bad guy. So if something happens to him out there on the field, now you're going to punish him 6-7 games because when he was a rookie, you know, he had some bad run-ins with whatever. You know, so it's very inconsistent. Even the block on Monday, was it Monday night?
Monday,
The Dallas, I'm not Dallas.
Juju Smith-Schuster.
That block trying to say, is it legal, isn't it legal? It's a legal block. It's clean. It wasn't a dirty block. These blocks happen all the time, you know, and just happens to a real popular guy at that particular time. Is on national TV, and they suspend him how many games?
One game. As Grunt. That's the whole argument.
A legal hit. That's a legal hit. So I don't understand how you suspend a guy that does something malicious and then a guy that takes – that's the rule. That's the rule right there. I told my son when he was playing football, he got caught on a crack block because he was running. His legs are going to the left and his head's on the right. I said, son, no, if your legs go to the left, then your head better go to the left too. You know what I mean? Because in it sounds a little insensitive, but if you're out there and you cross those lines and go out there, that's the danger. There's danger out there,
sure.
But danger shouldn't occur inflicted on you when it's not a play.
Right.
There's no activity going on, and a guy winds up on you and gives you a concussion. You know, that's uncalled for. It definitely is worthy of more than a 1-game suspension, little things like that. And does he get a 1-game suspension because of he's a fun-loving guy? I like him, but, you know, he gets a pass. Yeah. You know what I mean? Oh, so.
We're talking about Gronkowski. What do you think would be a fair? Yeah. What would have been a fair?
Oh, with something like that, they have to make it stick. Because, listen, right now in the NFL, if they want to get a point across to any player, they hit him in the pocket hard. You know, and he gets paid a lot of money. That's worthy of 4 to 5 games.
4 to 5?
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. Look what he did.
I mean, one cost him,
he's a nice guy.
$380,000.
Yeah, it should hurt the team, too. It should really hurt the team. So, I mean, Belichick himself knows it wasn't a good deal. And if the league doesn't do anything to him, the team never does anything to him. You know what I mean? They wouldn't have fined him. They wouldn't have gone to him, hey, Gronk, you know, we're going to sit you down. You can't be playing like that. We don't represent that. But they didn't, and they gave him one game. He'll be back out there.
That was, you know, you speak about the team actually suspending somebody. I was surprised to see the Chiefs
Marcus
suspend
Peters.
Marcus Peters. Yeah. You know, like, that typically doesn't happen. If the league doesn't suspend him, you know, the coach is not good, especially when you're still trying to get into the playoffs here.
Yeah.
You know, and
that's
you're
probably.
On a – it's crazy. But yeah, a coach to say, all right, I'm going to suspend my best cornerback, one of the best in the league right now. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and suspend you for a game for throwing a flag up into the stands.
That's a gutsy move. Got a call here from Frank in Rochester on this issue. Frank, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Yeah, guys, thanks for taking my call. I actually called you yesterday. I'm being kind of selfish here, I guess. But I'm glad that Ruben's there because I always love Ruben. I'm an old offensive lineman. And Ruben, you ought to be coaching somewhere. You ought to be coaching in the NFL or something. But
Ruben hates coaches.
I hate coaches. All of them.
I'm sure you have better things to do than that. But as far as this deal with Goodell, isn't he responsible for handing out the game suspensions and things like that? Didn't that come from him?
His office.
Yeah, his office. Look, ultimately.
Right?
Yeah.
So that makes my point and your point. And you know, as far as, you know, what is his criteria to come up with these things? They seem so out of whack.
Yeah.
He's inconsistent.
I would suspend the guy for the rest of the year, and he gets $500,000. Out of his pocket. That's it. Now, you want to make sure, if you want to really get to these guys, you can't hit them with $25,000 fine, $50,000 fine. That's nothing to them.
Well, now, again, Gronkowski's out like $380,000 for missing.
So you suspend
game.
Him the rest of the year. You're
that's
talking about
half a million,
over a million. But I will say this, Frank, as we sit up here and talk about Goodell and you know, the job that he's done, ultimately he does work for the owners, you know. So he makes the league a lot of money. He's made some decisions for this league. That has, you know,
I would argue that Goodell is riding the remnants of Tagler, Boo, and Gene Upshaw, in my personal opinion. I think they did the hard fight and got this thing rolling and steamrolling to the point where it's pretty much, you know, window dressing what he's got to do for the owners. I mean, because these teams were shooting up to a couple $100 million in value before he had taken over. And the revenue from TV was just booming. We were in the CBAs making plans on how much, whoa, this thing is really growing. And it wasn't the commissioner that did that or cut the deal. They came to him because football's hot.
Right.
You know what I mean? He didn't. There are certain products on the planet that you don't have to sell. They sell themselves. You know what I mean? And being the commissioner of the NFL is like, man, it's like selling water to the desert. You know?
I think that was Jerry Jones's argument and why he didn't want to do it yet. He was like, listen, let's wait this thing out, you know, it's not time yet. He was also upset for other things, you know, but that was part of his argument. And ultimately, I guess that's why you have this contract now that's incentive based,
200,
you know, where you can make anywhere from $8 million to $40 million a year based on what he does.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's all based on revenue.
And it'll include getting a new CBA done and new television deals done. Those are going to be huge. And the new television deal is going to be pretty complex when they find ways to charge people different ways to
because you have so much of these technology companies now, you know. So CBS, you know, Fox, how do you factor into a Google or a Facebook or one of these, you know, Amazon that's trying to really get in on this thing? These are the biggest companies in the world. Google, Facebook, Amazon, those are the top companies in the world now. Mm-hmm. And they can come in and say, look, we have this platform with, you know, 2 billion people on this platform. Mm-hmm. CBS, you can't fight with that,
right.
You know. So
right.
mm-hmm. it's going to be a interesting negotiation, you know, and his contract will be based on what he does, how he handles that.
And I think based on their experience with him, they probably think, who else to do this than the guy who's brought us through the last several years, you know, negotiating deals.
Yeah.
Couple of more calls on this. I don't want to focus on this, but Louie in Buffalo has a thought on this. Louie, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi.
I'm just worried about the way things are going in not just the NFL, but all around major sports right now about how players are treating referees and the league rules, no matter whether it's in the NBA or the NFL, throwing flags into the stand, pushing referees, pushing coaches. And these are they seem to be minor instances. And since these guys make so much money, a one-game fine doesn't mean nothing to them. They don't care. They don't care. Things have to be – it can't be like that because you're going to have anarchy in all the leagues. You cannot have that. You have to have total respect for everything that's going on. You can't do that.
I hear a lot of fans – I hear this from fans a lot – about the money. Oh, they don't care. They can't. We care about that. Every dime.
They care about
every penny. If I like my money.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I like to spend it. Yeah. I want to put it out. I want to get it in.
Why don't you throw a little around here?
I'd love to. I got it. I'm very generous. But I don't like people taking it from me. You know what I mean? I don't care if it's $1. I hate it. I hate $1 being taken. So don't
here's the question.
Don't think players, more, we got to take more from them. If I was making $1 million a day and I came in and the coach said, I'm fining you $1, I would be pissed. I would $1. I want that dollar. That's mine. I earn it. Well, you did something went wrong and we're going to take that dollar. I'm upset.
Make me run.
Yeah, I'd do anything, you know, but give me my dollar.
But the question is for you, Rube. As you – now, you played a long time in the league, right? You played a long time in the
league. A long time ago.
When you came into the league, was your mentality the same as when you were getting ready to go out of the league? You know, like when you first came in, you were first-round pick.
Yeah.
Did you say, like, look, I want my money, you know, or were you generous or didn't care at that point? Because I feel like you got a lot of players in the league now that are like, find me, I don't care, you know?
Well, I think a player will say, find me, I don't care, depending on the situation or what it is, you know? Mm-hmm. If it's something that, you know, maybe you come to the realization, like, I was wrong, I got to pay for that, and I want to, but, you know, go ahead, I don't care. But if it's really something that's in your heart that you're like, hey, man, that was wrong, I don't think I should pay for that, you're going to, you know, be a little bit more amped about it. So, It always was kind of the same for me. I worked hard for this, you know, every little dollar, you know, and people, I remember, you know, people that worked around the facility that would kind of look at players like, oh, you got it, hey, you blow it, you're driving a Range Rover. Yeah, I should drive a Range Rover. I work for it. I laid my life on the line for it, and I pay the bills, and I do what I got to do to own that and be able to throw my money, my choice.
My choice
to throw the money there.
I remember doing an event back home in my hometown, and they had a charity there, and they were trying to get people to donate to the charity or whatever. Then so I walked up, and I'm talking to the people, so when I walked away, they didn't know that I could hear them still. Yeah. You know, I do a lot of ear hustling.
They didn't know
I could hear them, right? So I'm listening, and the dude was like, he should donate some money, all that money he has. You don't know what I'm donating my money to? Like, what are you talking about right now?
Did you turn around and say that to him?
No, I just kept it moving. because it was a family event. I couldn't even go there. But, you know, it's like, what are you talking about right now? You get stuff like that from the fans all the time.
Yeah, we think that.
Hey, Ruben, we're 20 minutes into talking. We did not ask you yet about the Buffalo loss to the Patriots last Sunday. I know you talked about it with Mike Catalana on Bills Tonight. Give us your thoughts on that game and how the Bills are set up for the home stretch.
Well, they lost the game in the warm-ups.
What?
They lost the game in the warm-ups. When the Patriots ran onto the field, they lost the game.
What are you talking about?
Cornelius Bennett and I were on the field, and they've changed the warm-up location for the teams. Now the Buffalo Bills are warming up directly at the entrance of the tunnel. And the opposing team's down at the far end. Well, while we were down there, it seemed that the Patriots, I guess they might have been confused. They'd never been here before. They decided to run down the home team sideline to get to where they had to go. Not everybody, but the majority of their team did. Cornelius Bennett and I noticed that and was like, no.
So they ran in front of the Bills bench.
Yeah, ran in front of the bench. Now, I mean, Cornelius from Alabama. I'm from down in Virginia. And, you know, those are chess moves, mental messing with you games. If you, you know, bring your elephants of guys to trample across your territory. You know, it's getting deep now. Yeah. But listen,
it is true.
It really affects the mental state of everybody out there on the field, what they're getting into, what they're facing. Hey, these guys, they don't respect us. They're going to, you know, and they ran down our home sideline, and Cornelius looked at me, and he was like, that wouldn't happen if I'm on the field. And yeah. I said, man, we would have been fighting in the tunnel. Yeah. You know, listen, in Pittsburgh, if you did that coming out that time, I would have been the first one. Myself, Keith Hamilton, Sean Gilbert, would have been me. Ironhead Haywood would have met you in the tunnel. You're going to walk around to your appropriate place. Patriots been here before. They know they go to their sideline and then down and around. And that's a small little piece. That was a pawn. Yeah. It got eaten up. And nobody noticed it.
Nobody noticed it.
But it added up to what ended up happening.
You remember the movie Friday Night Lights?
Yes.
Yeah. You remember the championship game when, you know, they came out, the team that the story was about, they came out, they're all out there, and then the other team that they played that had the red on, they came walking out all slow, and the coach had a sucker in his mouth, a lollipop in his mouth, and they walking out all slow, big and bad, you know? And the players on the other team were like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There
is, like, some psychiness to football.
There's a ton of psych in football.
A year ago in Foxborough, remember Robert Blanton, Bill Safety, got tangled up with Brissett, Jacoby Brissett?
Yeah.
Remember, last year, definitely. He ran through their warm-ups.
Aaron Williams is in there, too, right?
Aaron Williams, don't do it.
When I was on this field, I dare you to cross that area where the linemen meet up, and if you wanted to cut your corner, we'd watch you to see if you step on the white. You step on the white, you're going to get something from us.
Hey, before I let you go, Ruben, Sunday night, you've got your Bills Tonight show, right, with our good buddy Mike Catalana. Did you know that today is the 30th anniversary of Mike Catalana's employment at Wham! TV in Rochester?
No, I didn't.
Your buddy from Sunday night.
I know he's been working there a long time.
30 years.
And I know that those guys are good. He's good.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we don't get to see them on a nightly basis because, you know, we got different news with Buffalo. But when I tune into those guys are really good out there. He is one of the tops.
Yep.
He's one of the tops. I'm proud to be working with him because he brings something to me each week. And he's really showing me the professionalism of how this thing really works. Yeah. And I couldn't be more lucky and proud of him.
Yeah, me too. The kind of professionalism you don't see here.
Oh, none. Nah, we don't have that here.
Thursday afternoon. No. But congratulations to Mike Catalana, 30 years with Wham! TV in Rochester. And you'll be there this Sunday with him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bills Tonight.
Hopefully the Bills win. MSG. They got a chance to pull off a win here. Yeah. You know, hopefully the stinger is still out. You know, that's what Johnny Majors would say. Get your stinger out, you know, like a bee.
Yeah,
get your beast
and chewing tobacco and pull the stinger out.
Get your stinger out. Let's go.
That's some down south stuff.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Ruben Brown joining us in studio. Coming up next, Joe Webb going to be with us, Bill's Wildcat quarterback from last Sunday. He'll be live with us as practice wraps up. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts, live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. Our thanks to Reuben Brown for joining us. The update from Bills practice, Tre'Davious White, cornerback, has been cleared from concussion protocol. That's extremely good news. And some limited practice work today for Tyrod Taylor. We'll update that in a couple of minutes. But practice is over. Joining us in our One Buffalo studio, Bills Wildcat quarterbacks, all-around offensive specialist, Joe Webb is in studio with us. Joe, thanks for coming by. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you.
Which position would you like to be referred to? Quarterback, Wildcat, I know you work with receivers once in a while, right?
Yeah, just pretty much wherever coach put me.
Now, have you been playing all those positions since Pop Warner?
Yeah, well, actually, I played a little bit of tight end, offensive lineman, Pop Warner. And I mean, high school, I played, quarterback with my main position, receiver. In college, played quarterback, receiver. Mm-hmm. When I played receiver, my quarterback was Sam Hunt. I don't know you guys.
I remember.
But yeah, man, I've been moving around all my life.
Moving around in the NFL from Minnesota to Carolina here to Buffalo. And we were talking before we come on the air, Joe. I remember you playing in a game up in Minnesota. Donald played in that game, 2010. Bills yep. at Vikings. Arthur Motes puts a pretty good hit on Brett Favre. He leaves the game. You come in and you started a couple of games after that, right, in place of Brett Favre. You essentially ended his – well, Arthur Motes put him out, but you replaced him after that long streak.
Yeah, man.
Nah, I did that. I ended his career.
Yeah. No, he didn't end his career.
Yeah, he had a good bragging rights there. But Brett Favre, he was – he's a great guy. I hate to see that happen to him then, but Motes put a good hits on him, mm-hmm. and, that was all she wrote.
What about that experience with Brett Favre? What did you pick up from playing under him, with him on the same
team? I picked up a lot from Brett. He taught me the game, taught me how to watch film, pick up different tendencies from the defense, just watching the way he played through the game, the mm-hmm. way he handled different situations and adversity. It was an honor to see.
Yeah, you played with some all time greats. You also played with Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, what man. Like? Adrian like? Peterson, he's a human horse. Mm-hmm. He's gonna run real hard, man. He's gonna try to grain every blade of grass.
Yeah.
When you left there and went to Carolina, that's when I assume you came under the attention of these Bills guys, McDermott and Brandon Bean, right? Did you have a relationship with McDermott on the other side of the ball when you were down there at the Vikings?
Oh, yes. Brandon Bean, he was one of the reasons why I came in Charlotte. And then I connected with McDermott by me doing scout team stuff. I would give defensive looks, and we kind of grew a relationship there. And I love it here, man. They told me to come over. I came over, and I love it.
I mean, it has to feel like you came over here, you had – and then you came before Kelvin Benjamin, right? Did you come before?
Yeah, you were here beginning of September.
When you got here, you had a few other guys like Leonard Johnson, like Mike Tolbert, these guys that came up from Carolina. So it had to help out with your transition coming here.
Yeah, those guys, man, we always joking and playing. So when I first got here, that was the first thing they did, joked and played around with me, made me feel welcome. And then, all the other guys from Buffalo, they came in, welcomed me with open arms. And, like I said, man, it's an honor and a privilege to play here, and I love it.
Joe, you played all 15 games in Carolina's NFC Championship year, right? What was your role there? Was it mostly special teams that season?
Yeah, special teams, receiver. I have certain plays at quarterback also, but they're pretty much, man, all around road. Anything I try to do just to get on the field.
Is it difficult to make a career for yourself without having one position? I mean, you're 8 years into this now. And
Well, when I first got in the NFL, all I heard was the more you could do, the better. Yeah, the more you could do, the better.
Now so, you're like, look, I'm trying to settle in on something.
Yeah, man. So the more you can do, the better. So that's all I mean, try to
it,
do.
It is the more you can do, the better. But at the same time, you can't really – just practice one thing and really master one position, because you never know. We might need you at quarterback this week, or we need you at receiver this week, kick returner, running back, whoever, who knows?
Yeah, whatever. I always work all of my craft, whether it be receiver, quarterback, special teams, whatever I didn't work during practice, I stay out to practice and work that, mm-hmm. So if I'm working quarterback 1 week, I stay out of practice, get my routes, get my catches, and vice versa for other positions. But I've been doing it for so long, I've been doing it since high school, college. It's kind of like second nature to me.
Who Who do you meet with? You must meet with special teams and then, right?
Everybody. Yeah, everybody, man. Yeah, special team, quarterback, receiver. I jump around from room to room.
Really?
I had to have a hall pass, you know, walking through the halls.
So. Do they call you into certain meetings, certain weeks? I mean, special teams is a given, but do they say, look, we need you with the quarterbacks this week, or look, we need you with the receivers this week?
I try to, you know, just go in different rooms, you know, depend on what we have going on with the meetings and stuff.
So just walk out.
Yeah,
you
man.
Just get up and walk out, like, probably, coach, I got to go to the other meeting.
Probably go home. And they'd figure in the other meeting.
Yeah, coach, I got to go to this other meeting, man. Sorry about that.
We're talking with Joe Webb, Bill's quarterback. And tell us how this started last week with the Wildcat look. How long were you guys practicing that before you got into that last Sunday against New England?
You know, we just try to find ways, you know, to give the defense different looks. You know, McDermott just came to me and said, hey, man, we're going to try to work you in. And you know, so I had my certain plays, and, you know, I just had to go in there and execute.
You had the one play that was inches away from being a tremendous play, the pass to the Traverse Cadet. Can you talk about that play a little bit and how close that was and maybe what you looked at it when you looked at it?
Yeah, that's one play I wish I could have back. You know, but, you know, Cadet, he's a great guy. He's a fast player, man. We missed that connection, but I'm sure we would have another one late on in the road.
Did you get excited? It looked like you got excited and just put too much on the ball.
Yeah, I did get excited. You know,
he was wide open.
Yeah, but, you know, we continue to practice. That's what practice is for, you know. Continue to work on it. And, you know, all you could do is get better.
You also had a run. I think it was 22 yards out of the Wildcat. And you almost bobbled the snap a little bit. And I was wondering if that almost helped as far as the timing of the linebackers looking and saying, what's he doing? Is he handing off or what here?
You know, just try to get them different looks, you know, even if, you know, that's what
offense is
about.
You did that on purpose. You bobbled it on purpose. That's what he's trying to tell us.
No.
I bobbled that on purpose, you know what I mean? So they wouldn't know where I'm going.
It worked, though.
Yeah, whatever you got to do, man, to confuse the defense.
You can't tell us secrets, but I'm going to assume we have not seen the end of the Wildcat work, right, for you.
Yeah, some people call it a wildcat. You know, some of my teammates, they call it a wild spider. I prefer a wild spider. You know, wildcat, you know, it started in Miami. You know,
yeah.
It started with Runner Brown and running backs and stuff. But I'm not a true running back, so I don't call it a wildcat. I call it a wild spider.
Why wild spider?
Spider web, man.
Now, you know, we heard you are very entertaining on the sideline during the games.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, my teammates, they get the best of me on game day. You know, during the week, you know, I'm more chill, more relaxed. But game day, you know, you got to turn it to an animal. So, you know, when you're on the field, you know, your guys, they see your energy and they feed off of your energy. So mm-hmm. I just try to bring as much energy as I can during the game.
You ever feel like you're running out?
Hey.
Like, yeah. Coach, hold on, I've been celebrating on the sideline. You going to put me in now? I don't have no energy to go in the game.
Well, you can't run out, man. You can't run out. Can't run out of energy. So, y'all, you got to just keep on pushing yourself. That's when you got to dig deep, you know, within your soul and let your teammates know that, hey, man, I'm here for you guys.
You've walked right into this team and become, you know, pretty popular among your teammates. Is that the way it's gone for you? Everywhere you've been in the NFL? Like, you seem like you fit in right away when you walked in here.
I just love the game of football. You know, I have a passion for it, and I have a great passion for it. And, you know, I'm gonna continue to love it until my last snap is played, you know. And I'm going to let the other guys know, hey, man, this game going to come to the end one day.
Yeah.
And, you know, you want to enjoy it. You want to have fun with it while you can, because once it's over and once you got to hang up your pads and your shoulder and your helmet, then that's it.
Did you always have that outlook on it? Or, you know, because when we all came in the game in the beginning, you had this thought, I want to play forever, you know. But the more you play and the longer you're in, you're like, it's going to come to an end, you know. So I need to make sure I don't take this stuff for granted. So did you have that outlook from the beginning when you came in 2010?
No, man, I did not. You know, I came in, you know, everybody have their open eyes. Oh, man, I'm in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, this Brett Favre right here, man. You know, I had the gloomy look and just amazed, you know, just thankful to be in the NFL. But the more years, you know, you played and the more you see, you know, guys, you know, getting retiring, you know, guys you play with and things like that. And, mm-hmm. and the more you see, the more you start to think about it. But right now, man, you know, I'm enjoying it, man.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm just continue to roll.
Now, you came out in 2010. Did you play in the Senior Bowl?
I did.
You did. So we played in the same game. Didn't even.
Who'd you play for? Did you play in the same team?
He was on the South.
South.
I was on the North.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was on the
you
team.
You played on the North?
Yeah, I was on the team with Marty Gilliard.
Yeah, I remember.
With Antonio Brown, all of us. We were receivers on the North.
And yeah, we lost that
South
game.
Like, yeah, y'all lost that game. Come on, man. And he was on the team with Tebow.
Oh,
you
wow.
know, yeah,
a lot of egos on the team. We didn't have no chemistry, man.
What you know, did Tebow get all the? Look, we did these. We had this autograph signings, right?
Yeah.
And you know, you got all. I mean, it was thousands of people in the big convention center down there, and Tebow had the line.
Yeah.
His line was out the door. Like, yeah. Man, this dude Tebow. I saw one sign that said "God's gift to football." I'm like, you got to be kidding me, man. It was crazy, but that was a fun week though down in Mobile.
It was.
Or you probably were down there.
Not that year, 2010. I was not there.
Oh, okay.
Joe, we got our first snowfall here in Orchard Park today. You played 4 years in Minnesota. This is nothing compared to Minnesota snow and Minnesota cold, right?
It's nothing, man. But yeah, I tell you what, I'm gonna go outside. I'm gonna make a snow angel. I'll probably make a couple of snowmans. You know, I'm gonna enjoy this snow while I can because I mean I love the snow.
We were talking on air. You know, we played up in Minnesota that game. It was cold. It had to be November, December, and it was cold here. You know, and I'm from New Jersey, right?
Yeah.
So I came here. I'm like, man, it's cold in Buffalo. We went to Minnesota, and when we got off the plane, it was like, yo, this is cold
it's
up
cold.
Here.
It's
a
cold,
different
man.
Feeling.
It's cold. Like you, I catch myself driving down the street, and my gas tank is on E, and I see the gas station. I don't want to stop at the gas station. I'm just going to keep going. It's too cold.
Too cold to pump gas.
Yeah.
You're going to run out of gas.
You're going to run out of gas.
You're sitting in the cold.
Joe, thanks for this. Thanks for coming by. We appreciate you spending a few minutes with us and continued success.
All right. Appreciate you.
Thanks a lot. Joe Webb joining us in studio. Bills quarterback. They're not going to call a Wildcat anymore. Right? Spider Cat.
You know, I know we're about to get off air, but we got this tweet in, and it was about your love for UAB.
Ah, UAB, baby. Go Blazers. Bahamas Bowl, we coming.
We're back with the one with the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Oh, man.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones. We are live at One Bills Drive. Our thanks to Joe Webb for joining us. Very entertaining guy. Pretty funny guy.
Yeah, he is.
How can you be in the same Senior Bowl and not even...
You know, it's crazy because, you know, you see each other just in walking by, really.
Right.
I mean, you've been down there, so you know the North team practices by themselves, the South team practices by themselves. You know, you never really cross paths like that unless you knew each other already. Just from playing college football. You
You're all in the
so.
Same hotel, though, right? And there's
Yeah, but it's you
pretty...
know, once you get home from practice or back to the hotel, you're meeting with coaches. Yeah. And at that point, all you can think about is, all right, you got all of these different teams, different people in the media. I don't know who is who. You know, I mean, we have fun in the lunchroom and, you know, at dinner and stuff like that. But it's really just the North team and the South team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'd like to go back to the Senior Bowl this year.
That would be fun. Yeah, I would like to go back down there. I haven't been since I played.
Yeah, it's changed a little.
It has?
Just a little, yeah.
I know the hotel was different, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Let's go to Ron in Rochester. Ron, you've been waiting for a while. What's up? Thanks for joining us.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Good.
I want to commend you for being positive.
All right, thank you.
I've been a fan since 1960. I know it's not easy. Anyway, I have a question. It looks apparent that Baltimore and Buffalo could come in almost tie record-wise and conference-wise. My question is, what happens next after
The next tiebreaker?
Record and their tie conference. What's the next tiebreaker?
I believe it is common opponents, winning percentage against common opponents, but don't hold me to that. I think that's what they do. Right?
I couldn't tell you.
Do they have any?
Yeah, I'm sure they do. Yeah.
Against common opponents?
Oof. Yeah. I don't have the schedule. Well, I do have the schedule
You
in front
do
of
have
me.
The schedule in front of you,
what
Murph.
What are you talking about?
You've had that for the last 3 weeks.
Cincinnati, the Ravens beat Cincinnati. The Bills lost.
Yeah.
Oakland, they both beat. Miami, yet to be determined. Yeah. And that's it, common opponents. Indianapolis will be a common opponent for them.
Yeah.
So,
but that's one of the reasons, Ron, why we talk about – you know, as you talk common opponents and teams that are in the hunt, that's why we say you really want the Chargers to win the West, you know, because we
Exactly.
You know, that you have those common opponents and we hold the the head-to-head matchups versus most of those teams. So, yeah, there's some common opponents in there.
All right, thanks very much. Thanks for waiting. Thanks for calling. The Bills have wrapped up practice and Tyrod Taylor is getting some limited work in today. Got some limited work in today. Did not participate in team drills today, but his left knee injury allowed him to return to practice today on a limited basis. The quarterback's wearing the green jerseys because the entire team is going to wear red on Sunday. It's a color rush day. And so Tyrod getting some individual work. We'll see what he does tomorrow, the final big day of the practice week. And there'll be an announcement tomorrow after practice, eventually, about his status for the game. Questionable, doubtful, probable, et cetera. So Tyrod Taylor, limited work today. Tre'Davious White has been cleared from concussion protocol, and he got in some work today. We have some comments from Tre'Davious coming up after the top of the hour. We'll hear what he has to say about the Gronkowski hit, which we haven't heard from him yet, and about his chances of playing on Sunday. So all of that coming up in the next hour, plus a look at the Indianapolis Colts from Stephen Holder, who covers the Colts for the Indianapolis Star. He is the Indy Star Colts insider. Stephen Holder coming up after the top of the hour. Come back for that. The John Murphy Show continues from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Drive, where practice is over today for the Buffalo Bills. They worked out indoors, the Ed Pro Sports Training Center, with a snowstorm hitting Orchard Park around mid-morning. Quarterback Tyrod Taylor got in some limited work today in individual drills as he recovers from his left knee injury. And cornerback Tre'Davious White has been cleared from concussion protocol. He should be good to go. Snow forecast for Sunday's kickoff between the Bills and the Indianapolis Colts. 1 o'clock kickoff. You can hear the game right here on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. Shakeup underway with the Cleveland Browns. They fired Executive Vice President Sashi Brown today, who headed their personnel department for the last 2 years. Coach Hugh Jackson will remain on the job and return for next season, according to Browns owner Jimmy Haslam. Other front office members expected to be let go as they reshape their front office again in Cleveland. They will officially begin their search for a new general manager immediately. Ryan Shazier, Steelers linebacker injured in the Monday night game, has been transferred from a Cincinnati hospital to Pittsburgh. That happened late yesterday. Shazier needs treatment and further testing on the spinal injury that he suffered in the first quarter of the Steelers' win over the Bengals on Monday night. He was flown by medical helicopter from Cincinnati yesterday at 2:30 in the afternoon. He left the stadium on a stretcher less than 4 minutes into the game, a 23-20 Steelers victory over Cincinnati. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell has signed a 5-year contract extension to remain as commissioner. A source told ESPN it's worth $200 million over the life of the deal, almost $40 million per year if owners approve all the bonuses and the incentives are met. The base salary in the single-digit millions, but about 85% of the total compensation package would come from bonuses. Thursday night football tonight, a big matchup in the NFC South. The New Orleans Saints at 9-3 playing at Atlanta. They're 7-5. Kickoff 8:25 tonight at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And the Buffalo Sabres practicing today in Chicago. They play the Blackhawks here tomorrow night. Face off at 8:30. It is the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy, Donald Jones coming to you from One Bills Drive, where Tyrod Taylor got an individual work today and Tre'Davious White has been cleared from concussion protocol. Let's take a look at the opponents, though. The Indianapolis Colts, 3-9, coming to Buffalo this Sunday. Joining us right now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, the man who covers the Colts for the Indianapolis Star. He is the Indianapolis Star insider on Indianapolis Colts football. Stephen Holder on the line with us. Stephen, it's John Murphy and Donald Jones. Thanks very much for coming by here. We appreciate it today.
No problem, guys. Looking forward to it.
Are you looking forward to the trip to Buffalo, Steven, and what's been a difficult season for the Colts? What do you think?
Well, I think you guys got some great weather dialed up for me, so I appreciate that. But, hey, we can't really talk much. We've got 20s and flurries today as well. But, no, I am looking forward to it just because I think I see some signs in this team that won't show up on the scoreboard. But, you know, you want to see if they continue. And they certainly had a detour last week in Jacksonville, and it'll be interesting to see if a lot of these young players can kind of get back on track. So many of them are being put in situations they've never been in before. They're really young right now. So interesting time.
Hey, Stephen, I got one quick question for you. This is the most important question that you will be asked during this interview. How's my boy Kamar Aiken doing out there?
Kamar is dealing with the same thing that everybody on offense is dealing with, and that's just, look, their offense is in a tough place right now, and it, a lot of it goes back to the quarterback, Jacoby Brissett. He's done some great things this year just in terms of overcoming his situation, but he's also hurt them in many ways, and I thought last week he really kind of took a step back. So Kamar Aiken has been a victim of a lot of what's happened on the offense this year. It's just really struggled. The running game has not been quite as consistent as they want it to be, and the passing game has just been a bunch of fits and stops and starts. So it's been tough. It's been tough right now for everybody on offense, Kamar included.
Stephen, what are we to make of Jacoby Brissett? He certainly looks the part, and as you said, there are some signs that maybe he can make this work, but other times he seems erratic and off target and just not – I don't know if he – I mean, I've heard it said that he doesn't really have the total mastery of the offense down there yet. What do you see?
Yeah, it's really hard to judge a guy when he hasn't been in the system, more than just a few months. I mean, he walked in the door 1 week before the season opener, and he wasn't even supposed to be the starter, obviously, and things went sort of haywire with Andrew Luck, and certainly Scott Tolzien didn't get it done. So, 2 weeks later, he's the starter. He doesn't know the offense. He doesn't even know his teammates' name. And here we are now, 2.5 months later. And look, I think it's what has happened is probably, in retrospect, it's not a surprise when you really think about it. He's been a guy who has shown some talent at times and then at other times has struggled. And maybe that's what you should expect from a guy who, as you said, never really got a chance to master the offense and never got a chance to work in the off-season or training camp with any of these guys. And I just think right now a lot of Jacoby Brissett's problems really come from, I think, his hesitation to make plays. For example, he'll see a guy running the route as it's designed, but he'll hesitate to throw the ball, and oftentimes he throws a little bit late. And while he hasn't throwing a lot of interceptions, the completion percentage really suffers when you do that. So I think he's got to throw with anticipation. He's got to be confident that they're on the same page, and maybe sometimes they're not, him and his receivers. And it's just really been, I think, just a lot to overcome for a 23-year-old guy who's never been in this situation before. Again, I think what Jacoby Brissett has done is probably the best-case scenario just based on the situation he was put in.
What it sounds like you're saying, this is going to be an interesting game, especially if Tyrod Taylor plays, because you're going to have two quarterbacks that kind of play the same way. But the Indianapolis Colts have given up a lot of sacks this year. In your opinion, is that due to him being hesitant and throwing the ball, or is it that offensive line just not being good?
It's both things. The offensive line certainly is culpable to some extent, but Jacoby Brissett has struggled, and his tendency to kind of hold on to the football, it just really is a worst nightmare for an offensive line. And there are times when the protection has been there. He's got to pull the trigger. He just has to. And if he doesn't, it doesn't matter at any level of football. The same thing is true. The defense is going to get there. And you've got these pass rushers in the NFL today. Every team has them. And if you give them a chance, they're going to get there. And the other thing is, look, again, I think it has a lot to do with not his unwillingness to throw the ball and the hesitation and all that. Those things are true, but there are reasons for them, I guess, is what I'm saying. And I certainly understand those reasons, but we are where we are. And so it is what it is, and there's no real solution for it. He's got to make a play or he's going to get sacked. And again, there are other times when the protection just hasn't been there. So it's really a combination of a lot of factors that have led to the sacks. But the sacks really have completely undermined this offense this year. You can't play football like that when you're leading the NFL in sacks.
On the line with Stephen Holder, he covers the Indianapolis Colts for the Indy Star. Stephen, tell me about the long-term prognosis for Andrew Luck, both from a medical standpoint and from a football career standpoint. Is his future actually going to remain with the Indianapolis Colts down the road?
I believe that it will. I see no indication that anything will change in terms of Andrew Luck's future with the Colts. So anything other than that, which stunned me. I mean, absolutely stunned me. I think they're committed, and I know Andrew Luck's committed. So that's as we sit here today, that's what I can tell you. Now, in terms of his health, look, I mean, it's going to be a slow process because they're making it a slow process. They want it to be a slow process. You know, they were trying to sort of speed this thing along, not irresponsibly necessarily, but they were just trying to, you know, he had made a lot of progress earlier this year, so they were trying to get him to a point where he could play, and Andrew Luck very much wanted to play, and the intent was for him to play. There was every intention that Andrew Luck would be on the football field this year. The problem is he had some soreness developed, and they just couldn't get rid of it, and it just became more prudent to just shut him down. So right now, as of a couple of days ago, I was told he's still abroad over in Europe working with some specialists that are basically doing rehab. This is not any sort of procedure or surgery or anything like that, but they're just working on different forms of rehab. I don't know all the details, but they feel like this is something that can help the soreness be eliminated, and then if he can do that, then he can get back to playing football. I mean, I saw Andrew Luck earlier this year when he started practicing. I saw him throwing the football, and he was throwing the football with some oomph, and it was legitimate. So yeah. I don't think that there's any structural issues there. It's more a matter of them trying to alleviate that pain. So I feel, and the Colts feel, pretty confident Andrew Luck's going to be ready for 2018. But until we see it, you know, it's just a projection.
Steven, you know, there are a couple of things that I feel like the Colts haven't truly invested in some years. This is going back to Peyton Manning's years, and that, you know, starts with the offensive line. But then on the defense as well, you know, I don't really recall the Colts having a top defense or a good defense. What's going on with that defense this year?
Well, they, for I guess the first 3 years of Andrew Luck's time here, they did a really bad job of, I think, addressing the defense. They went heavily into free agency. And as you know, with free agency, a lot of times one of a couple things happens. Either you strike out, which often was the case, or oftentimes maybe you get a year or two out of a guy and then he starts sort of a downward trend. And that happens a lot with older players. I mean, that's not new to anybody.
Right.
So the Colts had both those things happen. They didn't do a good job in free agency, and then they did not spend draft capital on defense. So that defense got old real quick, and that's why this year you saw their new GM, Chris Ballard, just basically blow it up. And on opening day, they had 8 to 9 guys in the starting lineup who on defense who were not with the team last year. And that's a hard way to do it, okay? And that's not really the textbook way to do it, but that's where they were at. So they're rebuilding the defense. And right now the Colts need a pass rush. That's the next order of business. And they need some inside linebackers. They need help there. They have, I think, a really solid defensive line right now. That group is pretty good. Al Woods has been a good nose tackle for them. I think Jonathan Hankins coming over from the New York Giants has been a nice addition. And they have some pieces up front. The problem is they don't have the edge rush, and the interior linebackers are a problem right now. But they're going to be a tough team to run the football against. They're number one in the NFL on first down rushing defense. So in early downs, they're a tough team to run against. So that's something to keep in mind, you know, with Shady McCoy and those other guys.
On the back end of the defense, Steven, you mentioned the age on their defense. They're looking at really youth back there, right? With, what, the top three corners going into this Sunday are all rookies, huh?
Yeah, they're hurting. I mean, they had some veterans back there. Vontae Davis, you might know that story. I mean, so he's been waived. Basically, that was a situation where he was never healthy this year, and there were some issues between him and the organization, so they've moved on there. Now, they had Rashawn Melvin. They still do have Rashawn Melvin, who's not a household name, but I tell you, he has played great football this year and has turned into a number one corner for them. But he's got a hand injury, and it doesn't look like he's going to play. And then they had another journeyman veteran in Pierre Desir, who's a former fourth-round pick of the Browns, who plays some good football this year. He's out as well on the IR as of this week. So they are down now in their corners to their top three corners, I should say, are all rookies. It's unbelievable. So one's a second-round pick. That's Quincy Wilson, a really talented kid, but he hasn't played.
Right.
So is he ready? No. but he's got to play. And they've got a fifth-round pick who's playing nickel corner for them, who's played decent this year, and Nate Hairston. So it's a tough thing, but this team right now, I think they need their young players to play, because it's about next year at this point for the Colts. So this could be an interesting and sort of revealing time period for this team, playing kids like they're playing, so especially on defense. I'm interested to see more of them.
You know, I was telling folks, and the Colts are a little bit like the Buffalo Bills, Stephen, in that you know, you don't have an extremely high national profile. But this week, Bills fans who come to the stadium get a chance to see, I would think, likely two Hall of Famers, right? Frank Gore and Adam Vinatieri. Both of them are extremely accomplished in their careers. Both of them probably near the tail end of their careers. But those two legitimately are two of the best at their position all time, wouldn't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Adam Vinatieri, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I tell you, so I'm in my early 40s, and I tell Adam basically every day, every chance I get, you know, you're the one guy in the NFL that's older than me, and I feel good about that.
Yeah. So, that helps you sleep
like
at night.
I can still, right, exactly. I feel better about myself every day I see Adam Vinatieri. Like, yeah, you know what, I'm okay. And so, but he really is amazing, and he just, he has not really leveled off. That's the thing. I keep waiting for the drop off, and it hasn't happened. And that's what's so amazing about it. Now he doesn't do kickoffs anymore, and that's for the better. Obviously, that just takes a toll. But the kickoffs. I mean, place kicking. The Colts will put him out there from 51, 52 with no conscience about it, and never think twice. And he's just as consistent there as he is from 40. And it's a really amazing thing. And then with Frank Gore, I just admire Frank Gore's work ethic and just the guy that he is. You know, he's a throwback guy. He really, really is a throwback guy. He's a guy that Bills fans would love because they appreciate those kinds of guys, I think, just from my limited knowledge of the Bills. And he would be the perfect Buffalo Bills running back because he's a hard hat guy. And he hates the fact that that guys in the NFL today, in many cases, aren't like him. He hates that, and it drives him crazy. He doesn't want to take a day off from practice. Look, he's not the runner he used to be, but Frank Gore outworks everybody in that locker room at 34 years old, and that's a hell of a thing.
You know, Stephen, as you talk about this game and the rest of the games for this year is really about the next year for the Colts, we have to ask you about Chuck Pagano. Will he even have a next year with the Colts?
I don't believe he will. To be completely honest, I think that ship has sailed. And here's why. Look, he has dodged a few bullets in the past now. This is not – him having speculation about his job is not new for Chuck Pagano. But the difference this year is the Colts have moved on from Ryan Grigson as their GM last year. He was fired. And they have a new GM in Chris Ballard. And he did not get to hire his coach. So this was kind of a trial run. And – simply, it just has not gone well. Now, he didn't have his quarterback, and that certainly is always going to be a reason to have a poor record. But I don't think that Chuck Pagano has done enough this year to maybe sway Chris Ballard and Jim Irsay into doing something different. And when Jim Irsay, their owner, when he hired Chris Ballard, he was very clear. When asked about Chuck Pagano's future, he said, Chuck Pagano is the coach for this year. That's not a hell of a no. – that's not much of a vote of confidence. So I think he really needed to do something to change the conversation, and I don't know that happened this year. So I think Chuck Pagano is in his last four games as coach, and we will see come Black Monday.
Okay. Hey, Stephen, thanks for this. Have a safe trip here to Buffalo this weekend. We appreciate you joining us today on the show. Thanks.
All right, guys, looking forward to it. Hope to see you Sunday.
Stephen Holder, Colts insider for the Indianapolis Star, former Buccaneers beat reporter, covers the Colts now, has been covering the NFL for about 12 years, joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, Subway Eat Fresh. I was going to say, I'm glad you asked about Pagano. Every time, and we're approaching that time of year, Donald, where Coach is on the hot seat. You know, it's a headline online. Every time you click on that, Coach is on the hot seat, there's a picture of Chuck Pagano there.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean
he's
every
the poster boy for Coach is on the hot seat.
Every year he's on the hot seat, and it's because, you know, they haven't won. They feel like, you know, they have their franchise quarterback, and so they should be winning more games than they have. They've had some receivers on the outside, you know, that he can get the ball to, but ultimately they haven't really invested in the rest of the team, and that's a true running game. You know, they brought in Frank Gore, but now they don't have Andrew Luck in the backfield with Frank Gore. And they haven't invested on the defense, even though he said they went heavy in free agency.
Right.
That's not the real way to go, right, you know, in this league. And so, it's tough for him. But like he said, anytime you bring in a new GM, and that GM hasn't – and then you're 3-9 right now, who knows where they'll end up. But that GM hasn't had a chance to really put his stamp on the organization and have a hand in hiring a new coach. You know, you got to think that he's on the hot seat, you know. So I don't think he'll be out there next year. I think there's going to be a lot of changes on that team next year.
You know, they're in an interesting spot with the quarterback. And let's assume, and we hope it's true, that Andrew Luck comes back healthy next year. And as they build their team, as they go on about building their team, I guess we can say what? Is Luck still in the early portion of his career? 6 years in, this 6 year, he's obviously not playing this year.
Mm-hmm.
So 5 or 6 years in. I mean, nowadays you got quarterbacks playing 15 years or more. But at least he's approaching the midpoint of his career. So if you're building the Colts around Andrew Luck, you have to be aware of that clock ticking, right? First of all, you have to be aware that he's got the shoulder, and you hope he comes back full strength. But you have to build around him knowing that, this can't be a 3 year rebuild. We don't want to get Andrew Luck into the 9th or 10th year of his career,
right,
and then have the pieces around him. You know what I mean? It would be a little bit more accelerated than
that. Yeah, because then you're going to, quarterbacks play for a long time, but Andrew Luck has been banged up. You know, he's not like Tom Brady where he doesn't get touched out there. So he's been banged up. So you got to believe, okay, if we can't get the pieces around him until he's 10 years into this thing, how long will we have him,
right,
at his peak, at his prime, where he's actually able to take us over the hump, get us in the playoffs, maybe to a Super Bowl, something like that, So they want to be able to get that going. And early in his career, the first couple of years, they were in the playoffs.
Right.
And so they want to get back to
the remnants of the Peyton Manning team.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So they want to get back to that stage and be a perennial playoff team, but they got some other teams now that are playing well, in Jacksonville and Tennessee and Houston when they have Deshaun Watson, So they need to get something going here soon, or he's going to be over his hump,
right,
and be on the downtick.
So year 6, next year, year 7 for Luck, you would think that would be the prime of his
career.
That's
the prime, yeah.
Yeah, so you don't want to wait too long to rebuild.
Especially in the way he plays, you know. Now, maybe he can have a transformation. He likes to throw it down the field. He likes to get outside the pocket a little bit. He's a little bit mobile. He's not like Peyton Manning or Tom Brady standing in the pocket, step up, slide left, slide right, and throw it. He plays a little different, like Aaron Rodgers, So he needs to – they need to get it going soon.
Bills should win this game. Donald, and tomorrow we'll talk more about, the keys to the game, how they can win. They should win, which makes it a dangerous game from my perspective,
I think it is.
There's enough pieces there in Indy that you could think if they – what did Ruben say? Get your stingers ready or something?
Take your stinger out.
Yeah, if the Indy takes their stinger out, they could cause problems for you. They got issues. As Stephen Holder mentioned, the inexperience on the back end, the rookies on the back end, and not a whole lot of offensive production, not a real strong run game. So they have issues, but if they pull it together, who knows? I think the Bills have to mind their P's and Q's, right?
You do. I mean, they really do have to mind their P's and Q's. The Bills have not played consistently at all this year, so I wouldn't even be shocked, to be honest with you, if they came out not ready to go in this game, and then they find themselves at halftime in a very close game trying to turn it up then.
Yeah.
Like, no, you got to come out from the beginning and just put this team away. Here at home, you need to put them away. A dome team coming here to play in the cold, all of that stuff. Maybe you'll get some snow, whatever. I think it's going to be sunny. But you need to put this team away early in the game. Don't leave it a close game, or you're going to find yourself really battling to win this game at the end.
It is the inconsistency of the Bills that sort of led us to our Twitter poll today, and we like your input on that at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. What is the biggest obstacle for the Buffalo Bills to get into the playoffs? And pretty much two-thirds of you think it's the Bills themselves. 62% say that. I would be inclined to agree. 26% say the Ravens are the biggest obstacle. 5% say the Tennessee Titans. 5% say somebody else. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550, or you can do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Bills wrapping up practice a little bit more than an hour ago with limited work for Tyrod Taylor as he recovers from his left knee injury. He did not practice in team drills. And Tre'Davious White, has been cleared from concussion protocol. Tre'Davious White talked to reporters moments ago in the Buffalo locker room, and he was asked how he's feeling now that he's out of concussion protocol.
I'm good. I feel good. I feel good as new. I'm ready to roll on Sunday.
your perspective, take us through the play with Gronk on Sunday.
You saw it, man. He did what he wanted to do, man. So that's what I think about that.
We saw Ryan Clark mention a tweet on ESPN the other day about maybe possible retaliation. Could you go into what the response was from your teammates to you?
From my teammates?
Yeah.
As far as, like, you know, they said it was a dirty play, you know.
What did you mean by the whole hood wants that? Do you mean your teammates or other people, or what do you mean by that?
This, you know, no comment.
What? I mean, you're lying there. You're thinking, hey, got an interception, and then all of a sudden, what happened? And from what your perspective?
The guy did what he wanted to do, man. He is what he did. A dirty shot. So what they make, a dirty player. Simple.
What have you heard from Rob since?
Nothing. I don't want to hear nothing from him.
So he said he apologized to you. Is that not true?
To who?
To you.
Nah.
He apologized to you in the locker room afterwards. He said, I'm sorry, but 27. Does that mean anything?
No. No. His intentions were what he did, so no.
How fair was the one-game suspension on your mind?
Man, it's a joke, dog. I don't know what to say on that. I mean, I'm laying there. He snuck me. My back turned. He could have broke my neck. I mean, I got a son to raise. I mean, you know, all that. You know, people don't think about that when they, you know, just react, you know. But that's here or there, but it is what it is.
How tough is that to watch back? Because I'm sure you've seen it many times now. How tough is that to watch that with his intention to do that?
His intentions were to hurt me, you know. It is what it is, but that's what happens when, you know, you ball and they don't like that. So it is what it is.
How about the mental side of kind of moving past it and moving on?
You know, I'm past it. We got another game on Sunday, a great opportunity against an explosive offense, so we ready to roll. We've been having a great week of preparation and film study and stuff like that, so I'm ready to roll.
When you're on the ground, what are you thinking? Because there could be an array of things. You don't know the actual prognosis of how injured you are.
Oh, man. I'm glad I had my mouthpiece in. I probably could have bit my tongue off. You know, I bit my lip pretty bad. Terrible headache, you know. You know, it is what it is, man. He did what he wanted to do, and, you know.
In a league that's so adamant about head injuries and things like that, does it really take a step back when the repercussion is just one game?
I can't comment on that, man.
Tre'Davious White clearly still very upset. Didn't really mince words about Rob Gronkowski. He did what he wanted to do, he said. No accident. Didn't hear the public apology that Gronkowski offered up in the locker room and in Orchard Park here last Sunday. Clearly upset, but he also said this is important. He's looking forward. Tre'Davious moving on.
He has to move on. You know, he can't worry about it. And it's going to be interesting, obviously, when they play the Patriots in a couple weeks, you know, as he's going to cover him again. Tre'Davious is not the type of kid that strikes me, even though he didn't mince words there, to go out and say something or try to do something malicious back or anything like that, you know. But it's going to be interesting, though. That's probably going to be a physical game. Those guys will try to get physical with him. And he'll have his head on a swivel. He'll have his head turned always, you know, trying to make sure that he doesn't get hit or retaliated against. You know, it's going to be an interesting game.
It was interesting to hear the depth of feeling from Tre'Davious White, who's a pretty thoughtful guy, when he said, I got a son to raise. You know, I mean, that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about a hit that could have been extremely catastrophic. It wasn't. He's out of concussion protocol now, but you don't know when you drill a guy in the back of the head and he's face down, can't shield himself, protect himself.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if he would have hurt him really bad and possibly, you know, broke his neck or paralyzed him or something like that, you know, this is a guy with a son to raise, you know, a brand new son, you know, and it's like, yo, come on, man. We all out here playing football. You push off of me all the time. Now you're frustrated. I don't want to hear that you're frustrated. I don't even care about your apology. None of that stuff matters, because if you did hurt me, then what? What are you going to say? Oh, my fault. I ain't mean to paralyze you. What are we talking about right now?
You know? And I'm really glad Tre'Davious didn't totally brush it off. You know, he's moving forward. He's focused on the next game. But he didn't brush it off like, well, that's the game, you know. No, yeah, it's not the game.
And it's not the game at all.
I'm glad that Tredavious pointed that out in pretty emphatic and pretty personal terms. Like,
right.
No, that's not okay that you did that, and that's not what I was expecting. That's not what anybody's expecting. He out and out called it a dirty hit, which it was. And I'm glad Tredavious did that. I'm glad he stood out there and did that.
You should. You know, this is what it is, man. I'm not trying to mince my words at all. You made a dirty play, and you almost hurt me permanently. You know, you could have hurt me permanently. This is not just within the game of football. Your apology, none of that stuff matters. Even if I heard you, if you came up to me and said, now I'm saying this myself, but, you know, if I was Tredavious and that happened to me, if you came up to me and apologized, I don't even know, you know, what I would say to that.
Right.
You know, like, don't apologize to me, man. Don't apologize to me. Like, you did what you did. You meant it. And that's what it is. I have nothing else to say to you.
Yeah. Tredavious said that, what, 3 or 4 times?
Yeah.
He did what he meant to do. Very interesting. All right, we're going to break. When we come back, we'll have a lot more to talk about, including what's the biggest obstacle to the Bills making the playoffs. If you see that in the cards or what you think the issue might be, give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. And we'll check your responses on Twitter and like to hear from you on the phone line as well, and maybe you have some thoughts about Tredavious White. Plus, NFL true or false, all of that coming up when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Reed's Gents brings you the diamond in the rough. This week, it's quarterback Joe Webb. He was drafted by the Minnesota Vikings in the 6th round in 2010. After a 3-year stint in Carolina, Webb signed on with the Bills in early September. Last Sunday, Joe Webb found a role in the offense with the Wildcat formation after having played just 3 offensive snaps prior to that. In the second quarter against the Patriots, he had an impressive 22-yard run, the second largest run of his career. Joe Webb, this week's Diamond in the Rough, presented by Reed Gems, the official jeweler of the Buffalo Bills. And we just had Joe Webb in here about an hour ago. If you missed that, you can pick it up on our website, buffalobills.com. We'll have that interview up on the website under the John Murphy Show tab. You got me thinking about what you said about Joe Webb. What does it take? He's 8 years in the league now. What does it take to come in as a quarterback, to play a little quarterback, but to last this long doing just about anything, special teams, wide receiver, running back, wildcat running back, you know, wild spider running back.
Wild spider.
I mean, there's a lot going into that, and longevity is the key, right?
If longevity is the key. And they always told me, you know, when you the more you can do in this league, the longer you'll be able to stay in this league. You know, somebody like him, he's able to play quarterback, receiver, kick return. You know, he can do all of those things. He'll have a long career. It makes me think of Brad Smith.
Yeah.
You know, Brad Smith was that type of guy. And Brad Smith almost went to Pro Bowls for doing the things. And you are valuable when you can do that many things. Like, you can help out on special teams, and which surprisingly, we haven't really seen him at the like the punt personal protector, you know, on punt, things like that.
Right.
You know, you can help out and you want to go fake punt or something like that. You know, you are valuable when you can do so many different things. And because of that, teams want you. They'll find a way to keep you on their roster, you know, if you're an effective player at all those different positions.
The news here from One Bills Drive today, Tyrod Taylor got in some limited work, no participation in team drills, so they'll take it down to tomorrow, and tomorrow we'll have an update on his situation, whether he'll be questionable, doubtful, ruled in or out for Sunday's game against the Colts. Sean McDermott said Monday, if Taylor is healthy, he will start. And some limited work and individual drills for Tyrod Taylor today. Tredavious White has been cleared from concussion protocol. And if you just tuned in, we had his comments from the locker room a couple of minutes ago talking, I mean, very eloquent, I thought, talking about how strongly he felt about the nature of the hit from Rob Gronkowski. And he wasn't going to take the bait. White was not going to take the bait on the rematch coming up on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
But it's out there. We all know that.
Yeah, it's the elephant in the room. It's going to be the elephant on the field. You know, but, I'm not going to say anything right now. What am I going to say? Yeah, I'm going to retaliate against him. You know, I mean, look, when we get on the field, it'll be a physical game. You know, if I can get a good clean shot on him, maybe I'll take it, you know, but it's a clean shot. I'm not a dirty player. I'm sure that's how he feels in his mind. And that's really it. You know, I got to worry about the Colts this week and make sure that, you know, we go out here, I do what I have to do against a T.Y. Hilton to get a win. I can't really think about that hit on Gronk. You know, I'm going to answer your questions, but, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there in a couple weeks.
And we got the Bills have a couple of important games to get to before they get to that one and worry about any retaliation.
Exactly.
Our Twitter poll today deals with the Bills, where they sit in the playoff race. Yes, it's still out there, four games left. But what is the biggest obstacle for the Bills to get to the playoffs? Just kind of take a step back and think about what lies ahead. Is it another team? Is it themselves? Right now on Twitter, about two-thirds of you say it is the Bills themselves. 64% of you say it's the Bills who are the biggest obstacle to get to the playoffs. 26% say the Baltimore Ravens, the way the standings work out. 5% say the Tennessee Titans. 5% have somebody else in mind. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it on Twitter. Vote in our Twitter poll at John Murphy Show. I mean, I do think it is the Bills, Donald, who's the biggest obstacle. Mm-hmm. And look, we've seen this team. I mean, I'm not prepared to accept that the team that's lost four of their last five is going to play that way the rest of the season. Why wouldn't it be the team that came out of the gates, went 5-2? I don't know which way it's going to go, but it's been a rough five-week span here, five-game span. But who says they can't play better on defense and make a few plays on offense?
Look, this is the week that you need to get some confidence in yourselves as a team. You know, you're here at home. You're playing a team that is 3-9 right now. You need to get some things going in the right direction for yourselves so that you feel good about yourselves. You've been up and down all year. And you've played some games very good. You played other games poorly. You know, this is a game that you need to get going in the right direction. Oh, by the way, you're in the playoff hunt. You know, you're still trying to get in the playoffs. You have four games left. You have two at home. You need to win these next two, starting with this week against a team that is 3-9.
Yeah, against a pretty poor Indianapolis team and against the Miami teams. It's nothing.
Exactly. You know, Miami team is a very interesting team. They play up and down really every week. They play like the Bills, you know. But this Indianapolis Colts team, sitting at 3-9, they've been playing bad all year. This is a game you need to get something going and be that team that we saw early in the year, creating turnovers, getting, you know, some sacks on the quarterback, some pressure on the quarterback. They need to do that this week so that going into next week against the Dolphins, oh, which is my birthday, just to point that out, they need to win that game as well. But it starts this week and getting momentum for yourselves this week.
And, you know, you mentioned in Miami, they've had kind of a similar path. I'm looking now at Miami started the season 4-2, and since then they've lost they lost five in a row and now beat Denver last week. So they're 1-5. The Bills 1-4 in their last five. The Dolphins are 1-5 in their last six, and they're playing New England on Sunday.
Right.
They're likely to be, 1-7.
Exactly.
So we'll see. It's out there still for them. Let's take a phone call. That is Mike on the line. Hello, Mike. Welcome. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Merry Christmas, guys. How are you doing today?
Great, Mike.
Good, good.
I got a couple of questions, poignant questions, and I'll ask them and you guys could address them. They're not conflictory. The first one is, do you think as an organization we've changed the head coach, we've changed the defense from a 3-4 to a 4-3. You think we're in the same spot we were a year ago?
In terms of what, Mike?
Yeah. Well, the whole team, you know, I'm not a Rex fan, but when you think about it, the season might wind up being the same exact thing, being 8-8.
It could, yeah. It could.
And when you look at it, too, you know, we had E.J. Manuel for 3 years. Well, let's see what he could show us. We're going through the same cycle with Tyrod Taylor, and then we get these, gurus will be saying, "Well, you got to get a quarterback. You need to fire the coordinator, that kind of thing." And it's like we're in the same spot we were last season.
I don't feel that way, mostly because there's a new general manager and a new head coach here, and you know, I think we're in a transition period with, a quarterback that has not sold anybody on his long-term viability, and I certainly wouldn't put him in the category of E.J. Manuel. But, no, I wouldn't say that. I think there's a sense here, this is really overall big-picture stuff, but a sense that this is the start of a building process. And just because you're building up doesn't mean you have to, you know, win two games to build up. I think they're trying to, and it's difficult, but trying to win now and trying to build something for the future. And we're going to see how it works out here over the next month.
I think right now, you have to have the feeling that this thing is on the upward tick. You know, last year at this time, look, and they might end up the same record as last year. Who knows?
Yeah.
They might end up the same record. But I think you have to have in mind that I think they have the coach that they want for the future, you know, and he's going to have some time. Last year, I mean, this at this point in the season, it was you were still fighting to get into the playoffs, but it was a mess. You had a lot of different things happening, and you were going downward, you know. And so right now, and I'm not just talking wins and losses right now. We're talking, like you were just saying, big picture view of this thing. You have to feel like, yeah, technically we could end up the same record-wise, but we're building something for the future here, you know. And it depends on – you got a bunch of draft picks, you know, and these are things that we're going to talk about in the future. You got a bunch of draft picks. Maybe you do get the franchise quarterback that we've all been waiting for here. Who knows how that's going to play out? But right now you're still in the chance to – you know, you're still in the playoff hunt, right. You know. And so hopefully you can make that happen and then still build for the future and maybe draft the quarterback of the future. Who knows?
Here's a call from Gary in his car. Hello, Gary. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. Hi. Just a couple things. The things I think that are preventing the Bills from probably getting in the playoffs are no consistency out of the quarterbacks and the receivers not able to get open. And then two key defensive and offensive people, Marcel Darius and Cordy Glenn, did not come up to par. But the real reason I call is about this concussion protocol. They, if you think back at the beginning of football, they had leather helmets, okay? Mm-hmm. And then as things progressed, they got more technical with the helmets. They got more padding inside. But they still have a hard surface on the outside of the helmet. If you were to put shock-absorbing material, I even sketched something out. I was going to get a patent for it. But I found that somebody had already had the idea. You put a concussion or a impact-resistant foam on the outside also of the helmet, which will absorb another 50% of the hit.
Yeah.
And I just don't know why they haven't gotten it. The NFL hasn't gotten into that.
Some people have. In fact, we'll have him on the show tomorrow. Mark Kelso spent a good chunk of the last 10 years looking at helmet technology, designing prototype helmets, and what you describe is essentially what he looked at, you know, an outer shell for the helmets, a little softer shell.
Here's the thing. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and we were talking about, you know, the league and what the fans want to see. And ultimately, the fans love to see touchdowns, and they like to see big hits. You know, it's always been that way, you know. And so right now, as you talk so much safety in the league, you know, think about it. 10 years ago on ESPN, on Monday Night Football, it was – what was it called? I can't even remember the segment that they did, but it was about the big hit, and it was like the biggest hits of the week, you know. Yeah. Fans love to see that stuff, right? So for me, ultimately, I don't think that the concussions will change unless you pull the face mask off the helmet. And I don't care if you want to go back to the old leather helmets, whatever it is. That's the only way it will change, because then you won't go diving in face first like that. You know, you'll actually tackle the right way with your shoulder, form tackling. But because you have this helmet and face mask, you feel like you have a sense of protection. So you can go diving in trying to make the big hit every time.
Yeah. I mean, my sense also is that most concussions happen because of contact with the ground.
Yeah.
As opposed to helmet to helmet or helmet.
Yeah. You do have a lot of, you know, the contact with the ground. And, you know, a lot of these hits are because guys are just diving in, torpedoing into guys. You know, if you had the form tackle come, you know, use your hips and actually wrap a guy up, you won't have so many big hits, you know, heads hitting the ground, stuff like that. But because, for me, the reason, because you have that helmet with the face mask, guys are like, I'm diving in there, I'm making a big hit. And then all of a sudden, the guy, either you go helmet to helmet, or you hit a guy so hard because you had that sense of protection that his head hits the ground, you know. And so I don't think it will change unless you take the face mask off the helmet. But if you do that, you won't get so many big hits, and maybe your ratings will drop because people are like, I don't want to see this anymore.
You might be right.
Yeah.
We're going to break. We got back. We're coming back with more of the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts, coming to you live from snowy Orchard Park, New York on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
We learned a lot. If you paid attention, you would have learned a lot on today's show. What have we learned? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, and the preferred alarm and home theater provider, the Buffalo Bills. Learned a lot about the business of the NFL from Andrew Brandt, who covers NFL business for Peter King's website. We talked about Roger Goodell, his new contract extension. Andrew Brandt had some thoughts on that.
What we don't know, guys, is whether he did get his pound of flesh in this deal, meaning that the incentive part of the deal, which I'm told is very heavily incentivized, are they tough incentives? Are they easy incentives? The one report said this $40 million a year deal is really like $8 million a year. Now, how easy it is to make the other 30, we'll see when it eventually comes out. But, you know, I kind of liken it to these player reporting deals. When you hear a guy got $50 million a player deal, well, it's really like $20
million. Yeah.
But I think Roger Goodell probably will make probably closer to 40 than to 8 or 10, but we just don't know how much.
He'll be all right. Roger will be all right. Joe Webb joined us. Wildcat, Wild Spider quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. And Joe Webb talked about his role and his versatility on the Buffalo offense.
I always work out of my craft, you know, whether it be receiver, quarterback, special teams. You know, whatever I didn't work during practice, I stay out to practice and work that. You know, so if I'm working, you know, quarterback 1 week, you know, I stay out of practice, get my routes, get my catches, and vice versa for other positions. But I've been doing it for so long, like I've been doing it since high school, college, it's kind of like second nature to me.
Joe Webb, good to talk with him. Tomorrow's show, Mark Kelso, Greg Cosell, Will Wolford's going to join us tomorrow, and Lorenzo Alexander. It'll be a good show tomorrow. Looking forward to it. All right, thanks very much to our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Production assistants, J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Olivia Merrill, Shelby Rush, our producer, Jay Harris. We'll see you tomorrow at 12 noon with the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.